Welcome, 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 everybody, to episode 49 of Climbing the Ladder. I'm your host, Chan Man V, and joining me, as always, is John Clark, who is missing from the overlay right now. Oh, my God. What's up, John?
I'm here, though.
He's here. Oh, my goodness. How? Oh, there we go. Okay, now it's good. Okay, it's good now. So, but joining us today, guys, is basically the Day 9 TV team. Those of you who don't know the Day 9 TV team, obviously it's Mr. Day 9 himself, Sean Plott. What's up, Sean?
Not much. Just thrilled to be on an episode that has a 9 in it. That's why we actually waited when you invited episode 41.
Very, very good point. Very good point. Sean, obviously, is the CEO, co-founder of Day 9 TV. And joining him is Mr. Eric Burkhardt, who is also a co-founder and COO of Day 9 TV.
Hi, everyone.
What's up, Eric? And finally, Mr. Tyler Rosen. All you guys know him as the co-president of the Texas Esports Association. And he's also a frequent collaborator of Day 9 TV. So I figured it'd be great to have him on. What's up, Tyler?
Yeah, how's it going? Great to be here.
Doing well. Well, guys, viewers, if you haven't ever seen me excited, I mean, today is definitely going to be a really, really exciting day for me because when I started the show, I remember, you can ask my mods, I remember thinking, you know, who would be the best guest to be on the show?
Number one all-time list
would have to be the Day 9 plus the Day 9 TV team. So this is, milestone for Chama V Productions, so it's going to be amazing time, guys.
You have obvious nerd chills, don't you?
Yes, obvious nerd chills, and I mean, there's not much else to say, but anyways, main reason, I think, biggest reason, obviously, for me being so excited about having you guys on is I feel like Day 9 TV is one of the few entertainment organizations that have really, really grown organically from our community. And because of that, I feel like it's a great paradigm for just everybody in the community that's just wanting to start their own thing and, you know, try to become a personality or, you know, just trying to contribute to the community. So that's why I think it's just amazing to have you guys on to talk about just a lot of the things that you guys do behind the scenes, as well as just how you got started. But why don't we get started with that?
Yeah.
So how did you guys, you know, just kind of, you know, maybe briefly tell us just how things got started? You know, did it start with the dailies? And then, I guess, at what point did it turn into a business?
Well, I'm going to do my best not to just do all these answers, because I'm actually used to being, like, the person at the front. Like, I'm the spokesperson for, like, a team that hides and lurks in the shadows, so... Eric, please feel free to interrupt me at any point and be like, that didn't happen, Sean, you're embellishing. But
absolutely.
Which is a standard
PR
practice. Yeah. And Sean does not believe what he just said. Well, I originally met Eric at Harvey Mudd College, where we both went to school. We were both in the same class, 2008. And I was a math major, and Eric was an engineering major, and I actually don't know how we met. Did we meet?
We met
through Danielle.
No, we met at, I believe it was at that poker table party thing.
Oh, that's right! On, like, the first the first weekend when all the new freshmen get in there, they have, like, poker table set up. And I didn't know how to play poker, but I still wanted to be a hotshot gambler because I'd seen Rounders.
Right.
And so I met Eric there, and we just kind of became friends via, like, generally enjoying doing nerdy things. Like, I played StarCraft sometimes. Eric and I would grab a beer and watch games, and... both like electronic music, although I like things that are a lot more mellow than Eric.
Who likes his Goa Psy trance.
Yeah, we just heard a little bit of that. It was almost like sex music.
Eric, what kind of music do you like, Eric?
right now I'm into Goa trance and also into some dubstep at this point. So
okay.
Yeah, definitely electronic stuff.
Very cool.
And Eric and I always had this fantasy of like, dude, let's start a business. And I actually remember... for any of you who don't know this website called Plenty of Fish, it's a free online dating site that a lot of people freaked out about because it's one guy who does the whole thing. He now has some employees, but it was basically one guy who works 20 minutes to an hour a day, but he just set up these algorithms so cleanly that it just matches people together and that's just all inter-server messaging and all that stuff. So he makes, or at the time, he made about $1 million a month just on Google AdSense. And Eric and I were like, we should do one of those businesses where we just plant a money tree and pluck off the $1 million bills every month. And we both agreed that that was our calling in life. So
that sounds good to me, man. Jeez.
We dabbled in these discussions for a little while until eventually I just started doing the daily, largely out of just me wanting to do a daily show. And it slowly started to grow and gain traction, and then I started to have like more technology and just general thoughts on the future questions. So of course, started talking more to Eric, and Eric helped set me up on a site called Blip TV and helped me with some of my encoding questions, along with Gunrun, who I actually knew back then. He was one of the casters under GLHF TV. So it was Eric and Gunrun, and oh yeah, and DJ Weed as well. Just helped answer some of my questions on how to like get set up and stuff, and then eventually, Kara, the other co-person of Day 9 TV, who's actually my mother, who has a lot of experience in entrepreneurship and building businesses from the ground up. We all just sort of got together and we're like, maybe we should try to do this as an actual business and grow it. And I was still in grad school. Eric was still in grad. No, Eric, you had a job. That's right.
I was doing part-time grad school. Yeah.
Part-time job. Yeah. And Kara also had a full-time job, and we just started doing this in all the free time that was available. Mm-hmm. And so that's what we did. And then it started, I think it officially started in April 2010.
Okay, April 2010.
I mean, that's completely different model than the guy sitting behind a computer for 20 minutes a day. I mean, did you really think from the beginning that this might work? That this would be something that you could get, you know, to make a living off from?
You know, my mom has just been so involved in the entrepreneurial thing her whole life. Her attitude is that if you think you can make it work, the question is not whether you can or can't. The question is just how you do that. So you just make it happy. You just force your way into making it a reality. So, you know, if advertising on, you know, like pre-roll ads start to be a source of revenue, is there another way to do it? Can we start doing events? Can we start running a league? What are other skills that we have? Are there game companies that we could consult to? Are there products that we could make that people would like? All that sort of stuff. And I guess around 2010 is when we just said, okay, so we're a business. What's something we could do? And we wanted to get our feet wet with event planning and event organization. Mm-hmm. And we thought, you know what would be cool? Doing this 24-hour countdown to the release of StarCraft II. Yeah! Mm-hmm. And that was a lot more psychotic and difficult than we had ever thought would be. And in fact, every event falls under that category. But we got to learn how to do that. So then that eventually expanded to the shirt that Eric is wearing, the After Hours Gaming League shirt, to the development of that. And then, of course, to working more with Red Bull and, you know, working with them on their gaming events. Doing this recent Heart of the Swarm launch party. You've seen probably the dailies continue throughout all that. The
it's also amazing.
Me going to shoutcasting tournaments and that sort of thing. So these are sort of the dimensions.
Yeah, that was a pretty good summary right there, man, the last 2-3 years there. So when it comes to the roles, I mean, you talked about Kara, and Kara was originally going to be on here, guys, and I'm kind of sad face that she isn't, because I just want to say first before we get into it is that for me, Kara is like one of the warmest people I've met in the community, and she's amazing. So I wanted everybody to get a chance to experience the Kara influence like on the show, but we'll have to do that another time. But when it comes to the roles, can you talk a little bit about that right now? Because it sounds like you know, obviously you guys seem to have different expertise and, you know, you could probably collaborate on a lot of things, but just kind of generally, what are the roles?
Already I'm like,
Eric, what are the roles, Eric?
Standard small company thing is that basically we divide up what we decide we wanted to work on, and then who has free time and who, you know, who's a good match for that part of the project. And really, we just wear a ton of hats. You know, every day it switches around. I mean, if you were to generalize, I guess I would say I generalize to a lot of any major technical issues, a lot of the After Hours Gaming League stuff I work on. I guess, Sean, how would you break it out?
You know, I think Eric is like tech, web, and After Hours Gaming League stuff. And also that means also handling a lot of how the video is getting coded. Mm-hmm. You know, like if I'm doing an event in like I remember when we're working with Gamescom or with IEM at Gamescom. Part of the agreement was to have those videos on Day 9 TV hosted there, so there'd be like a permanent accessible archive. But I'm casting the whole time, right? So Eric would just coordinate like a team to stay up all night getting the videos, cutting them, retagging them, uploading them, and spacing them out, and then re-indexing everything. I'm not answering the question, that's just a story. But yeah, like that sort of technological stuff, like the encoding, web stuff, any computer issues, helps build the encoding rigs for events. I generally do the content side of things, handle a lot of that. So that would include, obviously, the daily, but also, for instance, I do the metadating show on the Geek & Sundry channel. So, you know, Sean and Bill, the two guys there are great, too. So, you know, I'll coordinate with them, discuss with them, you know, what the timing is, what sort of plan those out. So it's generally content-focused. Kara largely does a lot of the business dev side of things, sort of maintaining conversations and relationships. If there's handles a lot of the accounting, a lot of the legal work she's excellent at. That's actually her background, is in international law. And
oh, awesome.
Those are kind of, oh yeah, and a lot of the event planning. She has like huge clipboards, like checklists, and she just checks things off because she's doing them all day, or she's crazy. So that's sort of the loose setup, but you know, we all just sort of gravitate to the project. So like the After Hours Gaming League is the next thing that's coming up. So I'll be doing the content in the evenings for a lot. That's generally 4 or 5 hours in the evening are devoted to the daily and that sort of things. And then 4 or 5 hours in the morning are devoted to, you know, like, okay, is there a hotel that there is nearby that we need to arrange some sort of discount code? Do we have buses from the hotel to the venue?
Right, the logistics of it all. Got it.
Yeah, because, I mean, those don't require, like, a degree. Or
yeah,
like
it's kind of the groundwork. Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah. But at the same time, like, I have huge respect for event coordinators and project managers and that sort of thing, because there's just shit's constantly going wrong, and you have to be amazing at just problem solving on the fly.
Yeah, you have to have plan B's all over the place, right? So
yeah, you have to have a plan F's. Like, you actually your plans are fucked. How do you come up with a plan right now? Because you have 30 minutes to figure out everything. And there you go.
Exactly.
So.
Crisis management. But
so I have a quick question. Because I'm a graphic designer, I ask this a lot. Who came up with the logo?
Oh my God. I will put it in the chat. Okay, www.bernardforte.com. His name's Bernard. He's amazing. He's from Barcelona.
The whole feel of it, though, did you guys kind of collaborate on that? The whole kind of icon infographic type feel. It's really good. It's really clean.
Oh, he's excellent. Yeah, we actually have two designers. One is Bernat, the other is Gabe, who does like any graphic you've ever seen at any of the Red Bull events. Gabe did sort of built upon the setup that Bernat originally did. But it's actually kind of funny because in early 2010, maybe around January or so, February, I just got a message from someone who said, "Hey, I really liked your show. I was struggling with, you know, thing X, and I saw an episode, and I've started to win a lot. So I just decided I would make a logo for you." And just, it wasn't the original logo, or actually isn't the logo that you see, like, right there up on the wall. But it was the old Day 9 Netcast banner. And it was so good. I was like, can I use this? And then we eventually contacted him again, and we're like, "Do you want to make t-shirts for the Day 9 TV launch party?" And then eventually it was like, "Okay, well, we need a full brand. Can you just design for us like a brand identity, like what color palette to use, the typeface, right, the full-on, like, does it use curved or diagonal or straight lines?" And he was like,
"So you're learning some of this as you go on with him, right?"
Yeah,
you're
learning
kind of about this side of the business, the branding side.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So, in regards to, you know, kind of getting a little bit back to just the staff or whatever, is it just the three of you guys? I mean, like, are there any more employees, official employees of Day 9 TV?
Yeah, there's a couple part-time. Actually, Eric, I've talked too much. I'll just let you say things.
All right. Go, Eric, go.
Yeah, we have several other people that do various things. So, you know, I have a group of people that help out with the encoding and distribution. So of the show, especially when Sean is casting all day at an event, we need to chop that up or or that sort of thing. So we have people that help us with the encoding and distribution and tagging, uploading, that kind of stuff. Let's see, there's Gabe that helps with the graphics and Bernat that's kind of the brand guy. Let's see, we have...
There's N. Tucker.
Yeah, and Tucker. Oh, yeah. So Nathaniel Tucker is our amazing webmaster who has done all the amazingness that you see on day9.tv. So that guy has been amazing since we relaunched our website, you know, about a year ago now. So there's Nathaniel, and then we,
Go ahead.
And then we also have, let's see, there's Stephanie who kind of just does general stuff as we, you know, we don't have time, so she can help, you know, write things or, you know, come up with ideas for projects we're working on, stuff like that. I think, is that everyone, Sean?
I mean, that sounds right. I mean, there's also, I mean, there, I like your description, Stephanie. It's like, yeah, when you have an event coming up, there's just a ton of stuff that needs to get done. And Stephanie's a get-done stuff sort of person. Mm-hmm. She's great. And then there's also, of course, like the Funday Monday admins who are volunteers who help sort through the ridiculous amount of Funday Monday replays that get submitted. The admins of the Day9 TV chat, all volunteer, all great.
There's also the After Hours Gaming League Council, so that you know, that is, you know, held together by a team of amazing people from the league who are really passionate about it, and you really want to make the league a better place. So those, you know, they put in a ton of work to make it better. So there's
Are those players from the league?
Some of them are former players, some are former captains, some of them are current players and captains. It kind of is a total mixed bag. It's a little hard to be a captain and to run the league, so most of the time they transition to someone else when they want to join and help out in that level.
That's cool, though. That's cool to have the players kind of help, you know, actually run the league. That's
yeah, it definitely it gives the league a great feel. It feels very, very, very much like a home for these players. That's the feel we go for.
Yeah, we never wanted it to be that sort of like, look, here's the rules, and if you don't like it, you're banned.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, you're the volunteer group. I mean, definitely the group of volunteers that you've had. I think a lot of folks in the community have known, you know, you just have a good number of people. And I know, Tyler, you've had some experience with the volunteers of Day9 TV. Why don't you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think we here are extremely lucky in that there's always people wanting to help, right? There's always people wanting to get involved, wanting to see what they can do for esports, for Day9 TV. So we get emails all the time from people to do that. So last summer, we put together a group called Esports Heroes, essentially, and people who really wanted to get involved with Day9 TV. And that's an amazing group. There's a ton of great people there. And they've helped us with stuff over the last year, like tagging all the dailies. It was a ton of work to get everything organized for the new website that Nate built, but in general, there's a lot of volunteers who are able and willing to help, and we really couldn't do a lot without them. So we're really grateful for the community support there.
Yeah, I mean, you know, but I think, John, we've talked about it like in a lot of other episodes of Climb the Ladder that volunteers are such a huge part of all organizations in our industry right now. So it's a
especially now is. We're continuing to drive on passion. A lot of people are, you know, but I think now people are starting to use their passion for opportunities, like exactly what Sean's done, where he started with an idea and he was very passionate about it, and then it leads to you know, bigger and better opportunities. So I think a lot of people now are volunteering their time because they do, and it's okay to be a little selfish, you know, say, hey, I really want to help Day9 because maybe it'd give me an opportunity to put something down on a resume or get a, you know, a foot in the door someplace else. So that's a good thing.
So when it comes to projects, you know, given your size, how do you prioritize the projects right now? I mean, do you have this pipeline of things on a board? Like, I kind of have this board over here that you just, basically every once in a while you guys come together and just kind of give it a score and say, all right, top score, we're doing it, let's go.
You know,
is that kind of how it works?
Well, I think you're going to like this. So I want you to think about school, high school, and they're like, you have a paper due next Tuesday, and you just go, oh God, and it's Wednesday, and you just tell everyone how you don't want to do it, and over the weekend you're like, oh, I'm going to write this paper. Then you basically try to do it like Monday night, the night before it's due, right? And you're just sort of used to that clean deadline. But when you don't actually, we don't have to do anything. Like, I could just do the daily, right? I don't have to do anything else. So it's weird. Like, how do you self-define? So our technique is to take on as many projects as humanly possible and just be constantly losing our minds with the amount of stuff that's going on. And it's kind of fun, like, juggling all this stuff, you know, because, like, there was the Heart of the Swarm launch going on. We're planning for, there's also the After Hours Gaming League that was sort of going on. There's also this, like, website development sort of stuff that's going on. So we very regularly do what a lot of small startup-style businesses do, which is we do a little work, but then we're constantly re-meeting, being like, do we need to reprioritize? So almost on a day-to-day basis or every other day, we're readjusting exactly how we're devoting time. Because there was actually a point in the Heart of the Swarm launch party where it was like, if this thing's going to happen, we all need to focus on this hardcore. And so we all would just focus on it really hard.
So speaking of focus, how often does your mom crack the whip on you guys?
I would say frequently, and we all sort of crack the whip on each other. I mean, this is constantly happening. And I think it's like really important to do that, you know, where... because all sorts of things will end up changing, and all sorts of things will end up being issues that you didn't think would be issues. Like, especially like now with the After Hours Gaming League, the finals coming up, being like, okay, Eric, did you take care of this, and this? Because like, I have these, I know I'm doing these three, but I can't remember what we decided on these two. And it's like, oh, I thought you were doing those two. And it's like, all right, great, we got to get on this, right? Like, there's no matter. And actually, that kind of makes it sound more disorganized than it is, but the fact of the matter is when there is something that is as hectic and ever-changing as an event, stuff's going to go wrong no matter what. You cannot plan for it, period. Mm-hmm. And you always have to be like, okay, well, things have gone really wrong. We've actually had events where the venue was canceled 3.5 weeks out.
Wow.
Yeah.
We now have to find a different place. And this is like a day or two before we wanted to like announce all the finalized details. And it's like, okay... let's do this, right? Like, you can't be like, well, that sucks. So that's where the whip cracking comes in, where it's like, all right, guys, we committed to doing this. Is everyone doing a huge chunk of work to make this happen?
Yeah, early when talking with Tyler for the first Lone Star Clash, and they had obviously been through running tournaments and stuff before, but I was talking to some of the other team members at TESPA, and I think once I got to the event, one thing I said is there's kind of a saying in, when running events is that what can go wrong will. And it does. Certainly does. You always have to have a plan B. In fact, plan B is usually your plan A. You just don't say that. Yeah. But there's always hectic, always something going on. It just sometimes does seem like it's completely unorganized, but it's certainly not.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of folks don't understand how much work and how much last minute it really is. You know, like when I was at Lone Star Clash, I mean, I was seeing it too, just kind of come together at the last second, and all of a sudden, boom, there's, you know, the show is great, and it just literally comes together minutes before the thing. But hearing, you know, just hearing that kind of commitment and focus, I mean, this is the kind of stuff that you see in startup companies, guys, you know, like in the industry, in any industry, you know, whether it's tech or anything. I mean, when you don't have many staff members, I mean, you're wearing a lot of hats, and you're just, you know, very nimble and just constantly doing things. So, you know, it's always a sign of a really good company. So it's really, really cool to hear you guys, you know, just having that type of, you know, drive and focus too when it comes to, you know, hammering these things out. Not to mention just really ambition, you know, really pushing yourself that, in that regard. Let's talk about the launch a little bit, just because it, you know, happened pretty recently, and obviously I was there too. So, you know. Obviously, me as a community member, huge thanks. You know, I was really, really appreciative of just the entire event, you inviting me, and you know, you're just really doing all this for the community. You know, there's not a lot of organizations, and I have to say, people that, you know, will take on this project, you know, take on this celebration, you know, celebratory project for the community, and really make it happen, and really spend that, you know, that month or however long it took to really get it going. So, so talk to us a little about just the motivation in doing it and then go into maybe some details of the challenges that you kind of faced organizing it. or some of the challenges.
I love how diametrically opposite those answers are. It's gonna be like, we had these great intentions, and this huge piece of
what?
Shit. there was... I mean, the motivation is pretty straightforward that, you know... Heart of the Swarm's coming out, so let's throw a party. It should be awesome. And, you know, there's so many... pieces to the community, so let's bring them all together. And that's one of the great benefits of working with Team Liquid on the project, is that, you know, in a lot of ways they're at the heart of the StarCraft community. And we were just like, yeah, let's do this, it'll be great. So that's very easy to state. Putting it together, really, really hectic and crazy. Right. Well, I mean, and it's not like this event specifically. Every event, I always say that every event is full of things that you could not have ever prepared for, that you will also never learn from. I've been, you know, at one of the Red Bull events, a player went outside in between a set to smoke a cigarette before he came back in. But he went out a one-way door and got locked out of the building.
Sounds like a Red Eye story that we heard. So
then no one can find this guy. And we're like trying to fill time and everything's getting behind schedule and like no one knows what's up. I mean, what do you do, right? Like, you know, we have like the IFBs, like little earpieces, where we can hear the producer who'll be like, all right, we're not ready for the next game, keep stalling. You know, we can hear those sorts of things. What if the IFB breaks? And you might say, well, okay, you have a replacement IFB. And what if it breaks when I'm on air? They have the replacement IFB. I can see it right there. It's like 15 feet from me. But I don't know that it's broken, and I can't tell what's going on. How does production and me deal with that sort of thing, right? Like, it's that sort of thing. So, I mean, with this event, a lot of it was, you know, getting, like, coordinating, because I mean, there were, what, is it 27 videos, Tyler? Was that right?
Yeah, I think we had 27 that we finally were... that we put in the show. So it was a lot of content that all had to be collected and looked at and organized, and it was a huge collective effort.
Yeah, and I mean, like for instance, one of the videos just wouldn't play properly. Just wouldn't play. Well, actually, there were a lot of videos that were had encoding issues that would not play well with this equipment. And then when we re-encoded it, it looked like crap. So then we have to like go back to the original person and be like, hey, can you take care of this? And then they don't get it for 2 days. And then when they do get it, they're like, well, I'm out of town for 3 days. So I, what can we do? So I'm trying to think like, okay, well, I guess we can take this video 3 days before the event comes on. I hope it works. And there were actually two videos. I actually was up all night the night before trying to figure out what was wrong with one of these videos, why it wouldn't play properly.
Was it mine, was it?
No.
It's all your fault.
Actually, for any of you who would like to know, Chris was the first submission. First,
right.
Chris was, what, 3 or 4 weeks before the, we got
that. That figures. Overachiever.
Yeah, and it's like 1080p, 60 frames per second. Those frames
like,
are so short.
It was like 6 gigs. I mean, it was huge, man.
It was gigantic.
But I never got a chance to even... I haven't even thanked Britt for helping with editing that, by the way, so...
So it sounds like, Sean, you still get your hands dirty with all this. I mean, you're just as involved as you were before.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's an illusion to think that, you know...
Well, I mean, there are some people that think that, you know, now that you're at a status of an actual company and everything, that you're CEO, that means you just sit back and enjoy watching Tyler work his ass off and Eric work his ass off, you know, but that's not the case.
That would be great. Yeah,
that would be great.
I fantasize about that all the time. And in fact, on my birthday, that's what we do. I'm like, Eric, do 20 push-ups and tell me about H.264 codecs. And he's like, oops. Well, X.264 is more modern. And I'm like, good. And I'm like, sipping martini.
Oh, man. That's awesome.
But yes, I get my hands dirty a lot. Everyone gets their hands dirty. I mean, it's how you do it. You could like hire someone to do the dirty stuff and me just order them around and go, oh, what a fool. But we don't have any money to do that. This is like the internet, which is already a lot lower than traditional media like television or even print. And as a subset of that, we're gaming, and as a subset of that, we're esports. So there's like a lot of
That's why it was like it was so amazing that you were able to bring. I mean, you brought us all there. I mean, you brought. I mean, as many of the major community members that were. That you know that were not obviously in Versailles or just around the other launch parties. You brought them all together into Irvine, which was really amazing. You know, because like you said, I mean, all of us are everywhere right now. So having to figure out the logistics to bring us in, and not to mention all the little cool activities you guys provided for us too, was just absolutely crazy cool.
And I mean, for the launch party, it was a really cool way to give back to everybody. I mean, everyone is so involved in the scene. And for us, it was just a cool way to bring everyone together. Blizzard was extremely gracious. They opened up their doors. They said, let's meet the community, let's bring them in, and let's celebrate how involved everyone is in the scene and how much real work and dedication that they put toward making really good content. So being able to bring all that together and kind of showcase it in one place and allow for that networking to take place was a really cool opportunity for us. So, I mean, as much work as it was, I think it was totally worth it in that it was just a really good opportunity to see those key players, I guess, who really contribute a lot and allow them just a chance to celebrate and chance of this new kind of Heart of the Swarm era that has now arrived. So definitely fun.
Tyler, can you talk a little bit about, like, specifically what you ended up doing from start to finish with the project? Because, you know, Tyler we work with a lot because Tyler's amazing at just getting shit done and being pleasant the whole time.
that's so true.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, sure. So I was brought on to the Heart of the Swarm project a couple months beforehand. And essentially the idea that we had from the onset was that we wanted to showcase the cool video work specifically that each real big figure in esports has done. So we reached out to a bunch of people. I think we reached out to like 70 people in total and the people who really make really good content. And we asked them nicely, could you please, I mean, we love your work, could you please submit something so that we can essentially showcase you as one of the best on air? And the response we got was just overwhelming. So my kind of involvement in the Heart of the Swarm launch party was reaching out to all those people, maintaining those relationships, trying to get the content in. And then once we had content, really vetting it, going through and make sure the quality was good, that there were no encoding problems. And then once we had a good slate of final content, putting together a run of show that made sense logistically, something that spaced out the songs with the interviews with all the different types of content we had, but at the same time kind of built up to a climax for the beginning portion and the second portion. So that was where the real creativity came in for me. But I mean, in general, just a lot of logistics, a lot of organization, managing content, and trying to make sure that we could put it all together. There were so many different types of content that we got, put it all together in a way that kind of progressed and built up to the launches in each of the regions. So it was a really cool opportunity.
So you're kind of the director of the whole thing, I guess you could say.
Of the content, I'd
say. Of the content, yeah.
Kara and Eric and Sean all did a lot of work with the logistics of the event, too. And the live finals as well. Not finals, but like the live event. We had it on Blizzard campus. We had all the production there. We had a big viewing area and lots of tasks. But lots of little cool things that the community members we invited out could do. So there are a lot of logistics kind of aside from the content. But that's kind of where I focus.
I can tell you firsthand, that's definitely something he's good at.
Yeah.
Unless, badass. Well, thank you, John.
With your brother at the same time, and then you have to try to figure out which one you just talked to about something that you did.
Then you go share telepathically, so it's okay. Line.
So
Eric, what were some of the things that you were doing during all this?
On the launch party, I came in a little bit later just because the After Hours Gaming League in the same time period was wrapping up its regular season and starting the playoffs. So I was managing how that was running and starting the ramp up to the finals on that event. So I started to come in closer to the actual in-person live event where it was more like, okay, here's a bunch of things that are starting to go wrong. Let's, you know, be proactive and knock them off to-do lists and stuff. And then at the actual event, I was managing the encoding and some of the production aspects. Standard technical stuff, and then the distribution of the show afterwards.
Okay, great. So how long did you guys sleep after the event?
I slept, I think, 13 hours, I want to say. I went to bed the night after the event. I went to bed at 3:30 or 4 and woke up at around 5 p.m.
Okay, yeah. I mean, if those of you don't know, I mean, Sean was up like 24 hours that night, right? Or maybe even 28 hours or something like that.
It was pretty insane.
Right?
Oh, yeah, it all started at 4 a.m. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, it was 24 hours. Just
we were there too, Sean.
No.
No, you weren't. Okay.
It's going to be a one-upping. It's like, we got there at 4 p.m. the day before, and we didn't sleep then. That's one thing that is weird when you start doing, like, when you start working with, like, insane workaholic people. They have these, you know.
They take pride in just, yeah, exactly. How many hours I put in today? Yeah,
penis measuring contests for agony instead of
sleep deprivation.
Yeah, it's like, well, I didn't sleep for 50 hours and I only ate one meal. And it's like, well, I haven't eaten ever. And everyone's like, whoa, what a badass. And everyone's sort of like, did he win? Is that a, You know, like,
do you win by being alive?
Exactly. I forgot to ask. What role did Team Liquid play exactly? Because I know they had a big part in it, but I just wasn't sure. Clear. I mean, I saw Hotbit and Heyoka there, but I didn't know the specifics.
So yeah, Team Liquid. Go ahead, John.
Tyler, no, you. I talk way too much. It's the worst part about me. Please, Tyler, insist. Even me telling you to go ahead and talk, I'm being way long-winded about it. But please, Tyler, go ahead. I insist. Please, wait, Tyler.
All right.
Cue the overlay. We gotta cut him off. There you go.
No, TL was great for the event. TL did a lot of the work for promotion, and so a lot of the stuff you saw beforehand, the promotion on their site, helping design all the contests we had. We had a bunch of community contests where people could submit really cool like karaoke pieces or written poems and written fan fiction, some of which
they did the balloon animals too, right?
there's all kinds of stuff. Balloon animals were pretty cool, but yeah, TL focused a lot on putting those contests together, getting all the content that was submitted organized, so that way we could kind of highlight the best of the best on stream. So they were great to work with throughout the entire event.
Okay, awesome. Yeah,
they also were involved, like at the very start, with the discussions on concepting the whole thing, as well. Yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
In addition to the pure brunt labor.
They left that to you guys, man. No, but that's really great. I mean, TL obviously is a huge, huge part of our community, too. So having you guys just all join forces with Blizzard was really, really great. And Blizzard is so amazing. In the last, at least half year, 7 years, 7 months or so, that we've seen some amazing things come from them. And we might be seeing some more amazing things in the next week. We'll see. But you know, there are some things that we can't talk about, unfortunately, right now that they definitely supported with the whole launch party. But just know, guys, just know that they were incredible. Incredible.
Yeah, I mean, in general, Blizzard was extremely awesome throughout the entire process. I mean, they were so accommodating of us. Anything that we needed to make this event happen, they were there for and supported, which was really cool to see, because it really showed like how much they cared about the community and how much they really wanted to give back to the community by having this event and really saying, this is your chance to celebrate, guys. Mm-hmm. We've made an awesome game. We've put it out there. But right now, we want to support you who made it possible, who made this community grow. So that was really cool to experience there in person, kind of the weeks before it, on planning calls and such.
Great. Okay, awesome. So we're going to probably take a break here in about after this next segment, and then we'll go into After Hours Gaming League right after, and Eric can just take over at that point.
Take over, yeah.
No, but I wanted to talk about the daily a little bit, Sean. And I'm ready. I mean, you know, a lot of this obviously I feel like was anchored by the daily. You know, just really the success of the daily, and you know, your personality just becoming an icon kind of in our community had a lot to do with the daily. Talk to us a little bit about, I guess, how much of it right now is, I guess, a revenue channel versus a marketing, you know, versus just being marketing and that sort of thing. And what keeps you doing them every single week, you know, four or five days a week?
Well, in what sense marketing? Do you mean like saying like, hey guys, I'm going to be, you know, doing event blah next week?
Okay, so maybe not. Yeah, I mean, a little bit of that. I mean, obviously After Hours, it's just kind of a really, you know, consistent place to, you know, advertise your other projects, but also just your continual, like, you know, visible presence, you know,
kind of brand building.
Yeah, brand building, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, the main reason that it keeps going is because it's what I really want to do. Mm-hmm. I was doing this for like 80 episodes or so before like a dime was made off it. I just kind of wanted to do it. And now that it's sort of grown to where it can generate revenue, you know, by having like the ads that run, and then we put on YouTube and Blip and all these other sorts of places, like that's great. And I just like kind of hanging out with the audience. And it's sort of like that comes first. And then out of that comes things like, oh, this is an opportunity for us to promote this other event that we're doing, because the daily is the best frickin' audience of all time. Like the Day 9 TV chat, oh my God, they're all awesome. So it's just, you know, like, hey, awesome folk, there's After Hours Gaming League coming up. And they're all like, yeah, go Microsoft. Macro hard Microsoft. Everyone loves that motto.
Nice.
Yeah, that was, like, seriously, there's no team slogan that will ever come close to that. But, Microsoft. I mean, that's kind of where it lies. And, I mean, it's a consistent source of revenue, because I show up every day.
Yeah.
But, you know, for me, I'd probably say 80 to 90% of it is just me being like, oh, I like every day, I'm just like, yeah, I actually get to spend time with StarCraft. And, you know, it's kind of tiring,
yeah.
But on some days, but I'm going to be watching StarCraft. I'm going to be talking about some really cool play, and I'm really interested in strategy. So that's the sort of underlying thing. The other, you know, 20% of the time, 10, 20% of the time where I'm like, God, I cannot think of anything intelligent to say today. I watch, there's days where I've watched 50 games and I thought every strategy was boring and uninteresting. And I felt uninspired and felt like I was going to do a bad job. And I was like, ugh, but you know what? I'm going to show up, right? I go live at 7. Yeah, you go live not because you're ready to go live, but because it's 7. That's why you go live, right? So so I think a lot of it is just determination to be like, no, I am going to make this consistent. And there will be bumps, but you know what? Damn it, I'm going to do it. Because this is important, right? You don't, if you commit to something, commit. Don't half-ass it, you know?
Yeah. No, I can totally relate to that. But your scale is just amazing, though. I mean, how many dailies is it now? It's 500 and, what is it?
I don't know. I have no idea. I think it's 560-something.
Really? Okay, yeah, yeah.
I think it's...
I figured you would know, though. That's why
it's about 180 dailies a year. So that actually it's 184, I think, and an average U.S. high school is in session 180 days a year.
Yeah, see, I mean, that's
a lot of shows.
That dedication is amazing, and yeah, and talk to me. You know, you obviously talked about it just being something where okay, I'm going to show up, I'm going to do it. But talk to me the benefits of the consistency too. I mean, like just what you would tell another content producer right now, why it's important to do something every day like this if you're going to do a daily.
I mean, anything that you do, there's no like underlying hidden talent that I have. There's no like gift or luck or fortune or any of that. I just said, I'm going to do this much time on this thing a day. And it started with just, you know, 2 hours a day when I first started. Just 2 hours a day. I love StarCraft. I'm just going to do this show. And it's expanded into more like, I'd say 4 hours, 4 to 5 hours is a solid amount to describe how much a daily takes of work. And just these benefits happen where, you know, certainly the StarCraft related ones where I'm studying StarCraft committedly for 4 to 5 hours every day. So my knowledge gets built, but also my ability to talk has gotten a lot better. I actually, and of course in other ways, I feel like sometimes I do need to be more focused when I talk because a lot of times I'm doing my show alone. So
yeah,
I kind of have to just keep talking. So, you know, right now, like one of the things I'm working on is reeling it in, but it's a skill building, it's a muscle. And now if someone at any, like let's say the daily stop today, if someone said, Sean, you need to work 12 hours a day, I've built up enough endurance over the years of increasing my workload gradually to where I'm like, okay, 12 hours a day, no problem. I actually have my best friend Tristan, who you've probably heard of, mm-hmm. We talk about a lot, decided that he wanted to write. He just wanted to do fiction. So he just would make himself write 2,000 words a day. And he would start with just scenes and just write out little scenes disconnected. And then it eventually built to where he would try to write like some sort of small arc of a story. And then he'd try to plan out a full novel. And then he'd write a full novel and look at it and be like, oh my God, this is awful. So he'd like throw that away and look at another thing. But like every day he would just say, okay, words. I'm just going to do 2,000 words a day or 5,000 words a weekend. And now, 2.5 years later, I read his writing, and I'm like, I like this. I want to know what happens to these characters. And it was all just based on time. So for me, I'm a huge believer in just take some time and do something.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of that has to do with honing your craft and things like that. So a lot of things that you hear from, you know, songwriters and stuff. It's just like people who are writing, you know, writing songs a day, or even Jingna was telling me she was trying to do a photo a day, you know, really just hammering that out and pushing herself, even though she doesn't have to do it, right? So yeah, really, 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 really cool to hear you know, kind of, I guess you use that kind of motivation too. Which episode is your favorite? I mean, I would say episode 100 would probably be the obvious choice, but I just want to see if there's a different one.
I do have a favorite. I, for some reason, I can't remember. Day 9 Daily number 337. It's a fun day Monday.
Or are you trolling me right now, or what?
No, no, day 9, day 9, 3:37.
Okay, all right.
We have liftoff is far and away my favorite fun day Monday. I thought that was, just the games that were submitted were outrageous. So, like, and they were all really different. There are a couple, the fun day Mondays always stand out to me a little more because, I have very strong feelings about them. Like if I feel sufficiently funny, I'm like, yeah, I did great. And Fun Day Mondays are also the ones that I feel the absolute worst after if I'm aware that I did a crappy job. Eric has endured this many times where I call him after and I'm like, I just did the worst show I've ever done. And this happens probably like once a month at least.
What? Where do you feel like you've done a bad show though? I mean, what is it about
question.
The show that you...
I'm not gonna give you the number. I'm not gonna be like, if you watch this show.
Hey, what's your least favorite show, Sean?
I mean, I just hear myself and I just think like this is not that entertaining. This is boring. And like the jokes that I'm saying are like they're okay, but they're not great, and my brain just can't seem to think of new ones, and I also have no time to stop and be like, let me try to find the funny nugget that I'm sure is here. Just have to keep talking. And it's when I feel scatterbrained and disorganized. If I feel focused, I'm a lot more just direct, and I say things. And a lot of times I'll, especially in Fun Day Mondays, I'll be talking too much about just what's happening in the game, and not enough about some interesting or funny thing that's goofy ties into the game, which certainly is a little bit more difficult. But sometimes my brain's just out of energy; it's out of juice. I don't have any more focus left,
right.
I don't know. It's very subjective, I guess, but I do have that feeling.
Do you rewatch any of the VODs?
No, I don't watch myself. God, I'm that
really? Golly. Maybe I'm vain, man, because I watch every one of my episodes. Like, right after the show, I always watch it.
Yes, he does. And then he calls me up, and he wants to talk about it.
It's not about you. It's like, most of the time, it's about me or something.
Just the show. No, it's good.
Yeah, exactly.
It's good. I'll be honest with you, Chris, though. I don't watch them. I think I'm like Sean in that. I just don't want to watch it.
You know what I found watching them, though, a lot of times, is that I generally, the VOD always comes off across much better than it did when I did it live. Like, there are definitely shows where I felt, like, great after it, you know, and obviously the VODs were great, but there were some where I felt, like, total crap, and I was just like, man, that sucked. And then I would watch the VOD, and it's like, oh, that was actually not bad.
Yeah, so. I guess I have wound up rewatching some. I don't like try to sit down and make myself do it, but there are a number of people that I go to. Like my brother and I both do this, where we have like a trusted small group. Mm-hmm. And when I leave my show, I'll be like, okay, I felt like part one was excellent. I felt like in part two, I took too long a time, and I felt like it didn't flow well into part three, and I felt like I did a good job answering the Q&A. And then I'll go to a friend and be like, and what did you feel about part one? And what about part two? What would you say is the most exciting part of part two? What do you feel like was the worst part? And I'm not going to ask, like, here's what I felt. What do you think? You know, I'm going to ask just the more broad
things. Or broad, question. Yeah, I got it.
Yeah, so that way they can actually give me an objective answer instead of me being like, I'm bummed. And they're like, no, you're great. Because I know they'll do that, right?
Right.
So I want them to do that. But, you know, I like having someone I trust give me that sort of feedback, and then I can sort of process it. But when I look at myself, all I see are mistakes, and I get really like, God, I'm the worst.
But we're always our worst.
That's how I am too, man.
Yeah.
But all right, guys, why don't we take a break? We've been kind of doing this for a while now, and, you know, just so we can get some water and that kind of good stuff. You guys can go bathroom break or whatever. But we'll be right back, and we're going to be talking about the After Hours Gaming League when we come back.
Are we muted? Can we talk?
No, they just heard everything. We'll be right back.
We are back. Hopefully you guys had a nice break. I always forget to take breaks, John, in our show, so I'm glad we were able to take one today.
Right.
So what we're gonna do now is we're gonna go into our After Hours Gaming League segment, and we're kind of gonna just kind of switch the focus to Eric over here. And you know, one of the things I really really enjoyed about this episode too is I get a chance to get Eric and some of the guys that don't get as much attention as Sean does, with the Day 9 TV, and Eric. He's basically the point man for After Hours Gaming League. So talk to us about the league, because when it first started, when you guys first announced it, I was really excited because, one of the things that we talk about in the episode is just the casual side of gaming and really trying to get that to be kind of the bridge between the general public and esports or just gaming in general. And that initiative, After Hours Gaming League, seemed to be just right up that alley, and not to mention that you're working with these big companies, like very big tech companies that who knows could potentially be sponsors down the road or something like that.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So talk to us about just kind of how the idea came about and just how it ended up coming to fruition.
Yeah, sure, certainly. So, basically the way the league started is, in our inbox, we had seen that we got a lot of messages from people who were engineers and computer scientists, and we started to see these trends of, what companies they worked for. And it's like, well, wow, this is actually a big trend for, people who play StarCraft who are also involved at, have day jobs at these, big companies. And so we started to see things like internal tournaments. So we actually saw Facebook had an internal tournament that they wanted us to cast. And so it's like, okay, well, let's see how this is. That's actually really cool that Facebook, this massive company, plays StarCraft as an extracurricular outside of work activity. And so we decided to kind of pursue that, see how it went. And after talking to them, we found out that they also knew that some of the other friends in high tech, in Silicon Valley, played this game. They had tiny show matches or weekend fun matches against other companies, like Amazon and Google types of things. So kind of sat, we saw that, and we were like, huh, there's some really cool stuff we could do here. Why don't we take this league, get as many people as possible involved, grow it, it's basically build on that, make it public. The cool factor at the time is when we were first starting it, one of the coolest things we saw is that this is an opportunity to kind of bring gaming into the mainstream in a really positive light. If someone works at a top Silicon Valley company like Facebook or Google, you automatically assume that's a smart person who's doing really great in their life and achieving things. And it goes great. It creates a great counterpoint to the really terrible Hollywood stereotype you see of the gamer. It's like, oh, they're lazy, they don't have a job, they live with their parents. This really silly stereotype that is, very much not true in most senses. So to show these really professional people that are successful in their lives and play games as their hobby was a great story we wanted to be able to tell. We wanted to enable someone who's a gamer that their family doesn't understand why it's useful, why gaming is a good thing, to be able to show this example of, hey, this is the hobby of these other people. This is actually a good thing to be doing. Something we fundamentally believe in, that StarCraft really is a great process that to be successful at StarCraft, you need to learn how to learn. It's constantly about self-improvement, and it's that same set of practices and how you learn about your environment that makes you successful in these really difficult, constantly changing high-tech jobs. And so it's kind of this great opportunity there. It was one of the big things we saw at first. So that was kind of what was one of the cool things about it. Obviously, we've always tried to find the best ways to grow esports. So yeah, getting... trying to get press around, positive press around esports in the mainstream. We figured people would want to talk about Microsoft and Twitter and Facebook in press, in a positive light. And also in terms of sponsors, I think like building up the awareness within these companies is really important. It's a very long process, but we make sure that all the companies involved have to get approval through their HR and PR PR segments. So the company knows that they have an official team. And what that really does is it creates the conversation between the players and these engineers and their HR and PR representatives and gets it in their minds so that then you create things like little mini bar crafts or mini parties viewing parties and these sorts of things. So that over time, esports is more in the mind of all of these companies.
Have you heard those type of things happening at the companies?
Certainly. And the trend is that when companies at first, especially in season one, when we had no precedent, nobody had seen the previous seasons, there's no what it was about, that was a lot harder. But once we had a season behind us and Microsoft and Facebook and Amazon, these huge company names behind us, it got a lot easier. And also within the companies, it's kind of like season one, it's kind of like, okay, we'll buy in, okay, sure. By season two, it's kind of grown that everyone kind of understands what it means. And the company buys in more. So, like, the company's more willing to pay the registration fee or buy T-shirts or fund little viewing parties and buy pizza or something. So the companies definitely get more involved over time. There's also been some seeds of some other, like, interest in sponsorship, too, I believe. So I think that vision is – it's a slow vision. It's going to take a while, but I think it is starting to come into fruition, I would say.
So I kind of brought up the After Hours Gaming League website here just so folks can – kind of take a look at it, and I can kind of click through it as we're talking about it. So it seems like the league is. I think the very first season, how many games were there? Were there four?
There was only it was eight. It was a super beta season. We tried to keep it limited, basically because the smaller the number of teams, the less we have to worry about the logistic headache of playing matches. When do people play matches? How do they play matches? There's like a huge learning curve for every game we add, because every game is slightly different mechanics-wise. So when you added League of Legends, that's a team-based game, so scheduling is an entirely different problem. And so we also kept that, I think we had 11 teams our first League of Legends season, and then we expanded it once we'd sorted out how to actually scale.
So talk about just, so the first season, I think they were just normal games. They were pretty much just normal games, right? You didn't set any kind of special rules. But I've been hearing a little bit this season that there have been some special parameters you've been putting on the games, which I've always thought was kind of cool. You know, I thought that, why not just do that? Why not just, like, not let them build a certain unit or something like that?
Yeah, so we've changed a few things over the years. I mean, the key thing is we want the league to be very competitive, even if these are, casual players. You think they're casual players because they don't... they have a full-time job, they don't do this as a hobby in the spare time. They're actually super competitive. So we want to maintain a highly competitive feel while also maintaining a fun environment. So this should be an after-work way to, blow off steam, hang out, bond with other employees. So it's important to balance the two. So the first season was pretty normal in every respect. The second season, we added a few changes. So one thing we ran into is, and this is a constant problem planning the league, is you don't know how many teams you're going to have until right before the league starts. And so scheduling, how many round robin groups you have, is it in everyone play everyone? Do you have to run into some Swiss rounds? Like, how do you mechanically make it work in the exact time frame with the number of teams that's not ridiculous? In season two, we ended up with, I think, five groups, or maybe even four groups. It was basically a number of groups such that we couldn't, in any reasonable way, pick out the last team to go into the playoffs. So what we ended up doing is we're like, well, there's no fair way to do this. So we're going to free-for-all.
Everybody makes the playoffs.
It was a free-for-all on a 4v4 map, mind you. So some people spawned in each other's bases.
Oh, man.
It was pretty amazing. So everyone had a blast. That was, I think, our highest viewed video from the season. It was incredibly fun, I think, for Sean to cast. It just turned out to be a really epic match. And that now has become a staple of the league. So this season, the math was still hard, but it was somewhat more like we could have maybe done something reasonable, but we decided that, hey, for the 8th place seed, we're going to keep the free-for-all is like a staple of the league. And I think, again, everyone had a blast with that this season.
That's awesome.
So serious is this getting? I mean, in terms of the teams and stuff, I mean, because I'm looking at season two right now in the group, and you've got, like you said, five divisions, 29 teams. It's a lot of teams. There's definitely some competitors there, aren't there?
Oh, yeah. It's gotten so we're just finishing up season three right now, and we've gotten to the point we have almost 90 different teams, and those are from more than 50 unique companies. So we have StarCraft and League of Legends as games, and we've also this season branched out into what we call an A League and a B League, which is kind of like Code S versus Code A or something like that.
Oh, okay, so it's skill based. Okay, cool.
Exactly. And what we were thinking was that, you know, there would be also a difference structurally in that, you know, the A League would be the super competitive people and the B League would be the more casual players. Turns out they're both super competitive. and so we actually treat them very similarly. So we have over 80 teams, and so a lot of companies have multiple teams, whether it's, you know, a League of Legends team and a StarCraft team and A League, or some people actually have teams in all four leagues.
I love these team pictures, man. The Cursed picture is awesome.
Legend is pretty awesome.
Oh my gosh, look at this.
Then there is, I think the Adobe is a photo, is a photoshopped guy, like, ninja kicking an Ultralisk, I think.
wait, I gotta find this. Where is that?
While he's looking for that, one thing I want to point out, and that, you know, the more that I'm looking at this, and I'll be completely honest, because, again, as we pointed out at during a break to the audience, this is a no-fluff zone. Well, we try to be, you know, no-fluff. So I have to be completely honest. When I first heard about the league, and I think maybe this was just the way it was in the beginning, it was really all about having fun and reaching out and getting, you know, getting these companies involved. But the more I look at this, this is really only the second real league in North America outside of the NASL. And this is probably the first real team league. I mean, this is pretty serious stuff. I mean, you got a lot of teams. It's regional based. This is exactly in line, at least for me, because this is what I do as well, is run tournaments and set up events and stuff like this. And this is really good. I just really good stuff.
It's amazing. I mean, back when I was working for like bigger companies and that sort of thing, you know, we'd always game at night, you know, play Quake or whatever it was. So like having something organized to do it, that would be.
I mean, this is exactly how, you know, soccer started in Europe. You know, small, you know, bars literally got a team together against a bar across town, you know, and things like that. And they grew up to be. And this is, you know, Chris and I have talked about this even on the show, is that, you know, creating this regional feel where there's, you know, there's just this feeling that you belong to this team, and you can, and your fans are the people that you work with. And so you're pulling them along to these events, and this is really good.
And you know, the vision for the league is, you know, we want every company in the U.S. to, you know, have a team, and maybe even eventually outside of the U.S. and, you know, just have it as like, it's if you get a job at a company that's, you know, has the right demographic for StarCraft, you can assume they'll have an After Hours Gaming League team. So we want to keep scaling it up, and we've had some pretty good growth. So the first league, we had 8 teams and like 80 players. Season 2, we branched up to almost 500 players, and now we're just under 1,000 players. So it's been growing a lot year over year. So I'm going to keep pushing on that growth and try to keep spreading the word and bring in, you know, the league to more companies.
Eric, is this something you had done? Sorry, Chris. Is this something you had done in the past, running leagues? I mean, have you ever admined a league or set something up like this before?
Nope, not at all. So my history was actually, I met Sean when I was in engineering at Harvey Mudd. So at the time when we kind of started Day 9 TV, I was just transitioning out of basically an engineering and computer science job. So this is pretty much left field for me career-wise. So it's totally new, complete fun problems, but basically it's just, again, learning how to learn. You deal with problems, you figure them out, and you just keep moving forward. So it's been a blast learning how this all works. And again, I've had so much help from the people within the league themselves. You know, they're very smart, self-organizing, and really want to help out, which has made it actually possible at all, really.
So who did the website for this?
So season one, it was a mixture of Bernat, who did the logo. So this logo I'm wearing is Bernat, who also did the Day 9 logo. Amazing guy. He also did the entire front-end design of the website for season one. And then we had someone from the league kind of help us implement that on the back end in the first season. Okay. And then for season two, when we expanded games, we obviously, our very basic, simple design, which was beautiful, didn't quite work for two games. So we had to kind of Frankenstein that a bit. So that's why you see we're still in the transitional period of the design where we have two navigation bars, which is like, I mean, no one's going to tell you that's a good idea, but it's kind of a transitional thing for us right now.
So I mean, I know your engineering background. So how much have you gotten your hands dirty with coding and stuff?
It's been a pretty binary transition. Since I left my engineering job, I've done almost no coding whatsoever outside of my master's degree. So I've been finishing off my master's degree part-time, so I've done some coding for that. But outside of that, it was transitioned from 100% coding to all business and management stuff.
It's so funny because, you know, I'm an engineer too. And
awesome.
Everybody's like, where's your website? Where's your website? I'm like, I'm just going to pay somebody to make my website. I don't know why.
You only have so much time in the day to think through these things. It's easier to hand it off to people that are good at what they do, right?
Exactly. That's,
you know, if you can hand it off and you have the money to pay for it, it's better than trying to figure out yourself.
No,
yeah, and that's actually one of the big things that was awesome about Nate, who helps NTucker, who does, you know, Eric mentioned the Day 9 TV webmaster that did a lot of the back end work on making sure the tournament like reporting system is it's actually fully automated in the background. So Eric, go ahead.
Yeah, this season it's fully automated, which has really helped us scale with less admin back end, and that is all in Nathaniel Tucker, who's an amazing engineer who also does the Day 9 website. So again, props to him for making it amazing and easy for us to run.
So what part of the year is automated again on the site?
On the After Hours Gaming League? Yeah. It's
like the score reporting?
The schedule?
Yeah, basically, yeah. So there's scheduling, and then there's emails sent out when they agree on a time, then there's when the match is done, the replays are collected, and then the publishing of the replay and the page and the standings and all that is automated. So the winning captain reports a score and the whole website is just done. The only thing that needs to be put in now is someone needs to link to the cast of the game. And that's pretty much the only manual change of content.
Very nice.
Yeah, exactly. And that's infinitely useful when you have, you know, 800 people playing every week.
Oh yeah. It's very scalable. Right. Yep. So, talk to us a little bit about Red Bull's, involvement in this. Are they purely just a sponsor, or are they actually involved with the organization of it all?
Yeah, so when we first started, it was, you know, Sean and I saying, this is cool, this is great for esports, we're just going to do it and see what happens, right? And it turns out it costs a significant amount of time and money to run something like this, you know, to sort out all the problems, come up with, you know, I think we have like a 50-page handbook to explain it, and then, you know, to design the website, and, you know, basically every aspect of it costs money. And so we were looking at it, and we were like, this is a cool one-time thing, you know, we'll see what happens after it, and, you know, at that point, Red Bull stepped in saying, hey, this is also a cool thing, you know, can we help out? So they've helped us basically make it maintainable season to season, you know. So they are, you know, they are the head sponsor, and they've been infinitely helpful in all kinds of ways. You know, they also allow us to have the finals at their venue, so they really help with a lot of the logistics of the finals. So that's also been infinitely helpful.
Okay, excellent. Yeah, Red Bull is such a, you know, I mean, you guys seem to do a lot with Red Bull. Is this something that you, like a consistent partnership or something that you have going with Red Bull, or is this just from project to project type of thing?
I mean, I would say it sort of varies from project to project. I mean, a lot of like the events that we did for the 2012. God, I couldn't think of a year. 2011, right? 2012, yeah. A lot of that was like, hey, let's do a number of events together. So that sort of thing. And, you know, the kind of the start of that was the After Hours Gaming League. And then, of course, they were like, yeah, and let's make sure to work together next year. And then, you know, with the Heart of the Swarm launch party, you know, helping to provide some of the equipment for that. That's kind of on a case-by-case basis, but we definitely have a good relationship with them, so.
Yeah, because some of the others were Battlegrounds and Charlie's on Naga, so really, really cool. I mean, the first thing I associate with Red Bull, honestly, is you guys. I mean, outside of some of the teams they sponsor and that sort of thing, but when it comes to organizing events,
Right. And maybe you can't answer this, or you don't have to, but do you know, are there plans for Red Bull to run some more live events?
I plead my Fifth Amendment rights.
I knew that was coming.
That's all right. I was just asking.
You gotta try.
Thought I'd try.
There's no fluff. You gave me no fluff.
I thought maybe Tyler. Yeah, exactly. I thought maybe Tyler would slip and just start talking about it.
Then hey. What are you trying to say?
He's the maverick here, man.
You're a little bit younger, Tyler.
I've had my experience.
Yes, you have, for sure.
All right, so I mean, After Hours, keep going with that, because I feel like there are big things coming with it. I mean, right now, are you happy with the way it's going?
Yeah, I think everything has been, you know, uphill vertical graph since we've started, and like, you know, even some of the problems you ran into early on, like with only eight teams, there was a huge skill gap, and we were trying to publicize all the games because we were pushing to get, you know, get the word out about the league and how it's cool and just maximize publicity season one. And so we kind of got this bad rap in the community to some extent for having, you know, bad games of like, oh, this is a bronze player playing against a diamond player. These games suck. And over time, it's really built into the top teams in the A-League are just really incredible players. Like the top, I'd say top four teams in both League of Legends and StarCraft are on the level, you know, all diamond, high diamond masters lineups. And we even this season have gotten our first grandmaster in StarCraft 2 and our first diamond player in League of Legends. Mm-hmm. So we actually have some pretty high end players. You know, it's not like a pro team, but it's getting close to some second.
To clarify one thing that you said, Eric, because when you said diamond to masters, it's like diamond in League of Legends, which is like their top tier, and then masters in StarCraft, which is the StarCraft top tier.
Right.
Just to clarify.
No, that's definitely like awesome.
Yeah,
it's really cool to just the landscape of StarCraft like right now and League of Legends right now, kind of in that non-pro scene right now. I mean, I think it's really cool that we're starting to see these segments starting to evolve, like CSL, right, with college, and then now we're seeing After Hours Gaming League when it's, you know, comes to more casual employment, you know, type of teams. It's really, really cool to start seeing those things.
And if we can get the viewers and the fans to step away from this idea that just because you're watching a Diamond versus Master or whatever it may be, it's not important. Yes, it may not be super entertaining, but you guys were putting it out there for a reason. And
it's a different thing, right?
It's entertaining. Yeah, I'm not going to lie. Like my, my favorite cast in 2012, a lot of them were just these insane games that were, you know, where both players got it, but like, you know, like if you have a lead in StarCraft, it's actually hard to keep it unless you're like really on point. And if you're really on point, then it's really easy to keep it, you know. But it'd be like two platinums playing each other, two diamonds playing each other. And there actually came a point in 2012 where I could blindfold myself and cast a Protoss for Zerg because everyone did the exact same thing. And I would just flip a coin. It's like, oh, I guess the big Colossus push worked, or oh, no, Broodlords won. It was painful to cast a lot of the top level pro games, but man, you get people like loading up like 50 Banelings and an Overlord and just waiting for their guy to move out of his base. And I'm like, I don't know what's going to happen. Then you'd see like a turret start getting built in the main, and you're like, this has never happened in StarCraft before. You would fly in and like 20 Banelings would get in, and the first eight would kill depots, and you'd be like, oh my god. But then the other guy would cluster all his SCVs trying to run him away, and they'd all connect, so it'd be two workers versus 60. But Zerg didn't have any units because they were all Banelings and Overlords. And I'm like, I don't know what's going to happen. And it's just like these psychotic games that were just hilarious, but most importantly, like really, 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 really fun. And that is far away my favorite part about it.
I'm feeling epic fails videos coming for After Hours Gaming League soon here.
Well, I mean, it's not even like fails so much. It's like risky decisions that people don't really opt to make ever. And it's just they're all being made. It's just like it's one of these weird situations where it's like, well, how do you analyze this?
Right.
But a lot of people don't do this. There's no history for this. So it actually kind of wakes up the caster brain a little bit. It's so fun.
It's definitely more down the road, you know, down the lines of entertainment, you know, just entertaining kind of cast too, which is always really nice. Okay, so we'll probably be taking questions really, really soon here, but I'll kind of end it with two questions, because one will be just kind of what projects you're going to be working on in 2013. But I'm going to start it off with, because, you know, Sean, you know, you in particular are such a big figure in our community. And, you know, D9TV2 is a very, very influential company in our community. Do you guys feel the kind of onus and the responsibility of doing very, very impactful things? Like, I mean, After Hours Gaming League, I feel like it's a very impactful project. Do you feel that pressure of having to do these type of things?
I mean, in a lot of ways, I would say no, because I just like doing this stuff anyways. That's the whole reason I'm here. So no matter how stressful or problematic or anything ever becomes, at the end of the day, I'm like, well, at least I'm doing StarCraft, and that's pretty great. But certainly there's a lot of pressure that comes into stuff where if, you know, here's a really simple one. Heart of the Swarm launch party gets announced. We kind of want to make it better than the last one. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't make sense to be like, well, we're going to do something smaller and shorter and less involved because it's easier, you know. So a lot of that is some of the issues we're running into right now, where a lot of stuff, I mean, a lot of what we're doing is entertainment, and a lot of entertainment stuff is not scalable. I mean, there's only so many hours I can be casting and doing league coverage or the daily and then flying and doing tournament casting. So we are kind of running into that problem in a lot of ways. And that's, there is a lot of pressure, I'd say, in that sense, because it's like, do we cut back on other projects so we can focus on these new ones? Do we keep these new ones at the same level and bring more people in? Because obviously we want the image to continue to grow and expand for the entire industry. So the last thing we want to do is, you know, sabotage ourselves by getting, you know, too complacent. Which is kind of like it's not as specific, but, you know, it's just a lot of, like, these sort of, like, heavy sighs we have in conversation. We're like, oh, well, I mean, we want the audience, like, last year it was, you know, for whatever thing, it was 300. We really want, like, 800. But where's a venue that can support what we need? And, okay, we really got to do this. And it's so tempting to be like, nah, let's scale down. But I think we've been pretty good at resisting.
Right. Okay. Yeah. I mean,
that's why events are so fun.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Dude,
and
event stories, man.
Those are the stories that you're going to be kicking back later on and just kind of having... You know, great things to tell each other, you know, back when you're looking back at. Remember when esports was, God, when it was just so small and.
When we'd have casts from gyms. It was echoey.
Yeah, exactly.
It was great.
All right, so last question. So, what are some cool projects for Day 9 TV in 2013 and also from you too, Tyler, in TESPO?
All right, Tyler, you go first.
You go first.
Oh God. Okay. Well, from my end, from the TESPA end, we have a couple big things planned. I don't want to say too much because we want our announcements to be impactful. Mm-hmm. But I will say that we're trying to take what we did at UT Austin within our first TESPA branch, and we're trying to expand that to a lot broader of a scope. We're looking at expanding nationally, not only at the college level, but the high school level, and really utilizing that network to make sure esports becomes a fundamental part of the culture and how all the other sports started, right? You play in school, you play it during middle school, all the way up through college, and then you connect with the company. We want that full kind of scale, and then we want to expand across the nation, essentially. So we're in the steps of that right now, and we'll have a lot more details coming out soon, but that's taken a lot of our focus lately, and that's something we're really excited about because we feel like we've learned a lot of good lessons just kind of on our own that we feel would be very good and very beneficial to pass on the others and allow them to gain from. As far as the events and such, I'll leave that question hanging for now. As to we'll see more info about that later, but okay. Sean, Eric, about the Day 9 stuff, I will not spoil anything.
You know, I want to give an equally teasy dodge. I'm trying to think of, like, I mean, After Hours Gaming League's going to...
Dodge? Yeah. Come on.
One month, yeah, After Hours Gaming League.
Yeah, After Hours Gaming League going to be continuing. I'd say probably the biggest thing is trying to have more focused content on, like, from the daily side of things. Like, we've been doing some dabbling, where the fact is I'm a gamer, even though I'm known for StarCraft. Like, I mean, actually, within reach of my desk, I have a Legend of the Five Rings box.
Nice.
I want to learn that game. What else do we have? We got some Magic cards here and there. Like there's actually, I have Ascension, board game, also, like, just out of arm's reach on my desk. Like, I like playing other games. We started doing the Friday, Day 9's Day Off thing, which was kind of If you'd asked me like 2 months ago, then I'd be announcing that. But, you know, a lot of the big things are focusing on that sort of thing. Things that I would like to do as well are sort of reviving and making more consistent the sort of Newbie Tuesday theme.
Okay, right.
And honestly, I want to have, like, this epic announcement. I mean, there's certainly some projects that I
want
to announce.
Oh, we want it too. Trust us.
Yeah, no.
We would love to have it too, Sean. Don't feel any pressure.
I mean, the big thing is that everything is so new with Heart of the Swarm that I just cannot wait to do the casting of Heart of the Swarm. Like, the MLG cast
is... Oh, my God. That was awesome.
That I did. with, you know, with like Wheat and In Control and Husky and TB and Aslav and Axeltoft. I think that's the whole crew. Yeah.
Yep.
It was so incredibly fun. Like all of us in between breaks, you know, we're all actually like working with the observers, like eyes glued on every match, because it was just so insane and so fun. So I just cannot wait. I really truly can't wait.
Just kind of going down that. Do you think it's the additional the new additions to the game, just the things like Widowmine and that sort of thing, that really enhances the excitement, or do you think it's just because things are new?
I certainly think that a lot of it is that second one. It's just new stuff, so no one really knows. But also, I mean, in general senses, there's more risk taking that can happen given the way the new mechanics work, and more. I was skillful, so I made blah happen. Like mines, if you position your mines properly and then like poke out units and pull back, you can bait if you're good enough, or you can do nice target firing with the mines if you're good enough. And if you're not, then you'll have the worst Widow Mine ever that will kill one Zergling and then is useless for another minute. But especially, for instance, like the Mothership Core. There's a million and one attack timings as Protoss that you'd say, well, if he's building drones right now, I can attack and I'll win. But if he's not building drones, if he's built units, he's going to destroy this attack and then I'm going to lose.
Yep, that's
right. So I'm not even going to take this risk. So there was like 5 attack timings for Protoss early game against Zerg. But now there's like 100. Because you can always bring the Mothership Core, and if things get hairy, you recall back out.
Right.
So it, like, just recall opens up this huge range. So there's a lot more, like, on-the-fly judgment that makes, you know, casting a lot more interesting, because you're like, oh my god, no one's really done this. How do I figure out what to tell the audience right there? And that's, like, really exciting, so.
Right. Okay.
That's my cop-out answer.
2013, well, I mean, I'm sure we'll see a lot more, but, yeah. You know, I know how it goes. Like, a lot of times you just can't plan, you know, you don't have things in the pipeline that far advanced. So, okay, why don't we go into some questions from the viewers? You guys cool with that?
Sound I'm ready.
Good? Are you ready? Your body ready?
Oh, yes.
Let's do it.
All right, so guys, if you want to ask any of us a question, you know, live on Skype, just go ahead and call me on Skype. ChamanB is the ID, and we got a couple people already.
You can definitely put it in the chat too. I usually try to monitor that.
If you don't
that.
Have the script, then we'll read. I think John will read out some of the ones from the chat too.
I actually already have one. Whenever you're ready.
Okay, cool. We'll do it after this. We'll alternate.
Sure.
We'll mix it up.
Absolutely.
I'm trying to call Mitchell here. He might not be around. Okay, well,
just sorry, we're going to start calling random viewers, so if you receive a call, have a question ready.
Yeah, you better be ready.
We have a question for you.
I love that show.
James, what's up, man?
Yeah, I'm good, man. Thanks for taking the call.
No problem, man.
Hey, James.
Hi, James.
Hey, so I had a quick question for Sean. Basically, it's about... Actually, I wrote it down because I knew I'd screw this up if I didn't. Basically, I want to ask, like, how is it that you manage to maintain such an incredible energy pretty much all the time? And the most recent case in point for that, I think, was that cast you did with Husky at, like, midnight or something. And you guys were just going off the charts. It was the most incredible thing I've seen. It's like, I love to ask you, was doing the whole sports cast. But, yeah, I mean, is this kind of, awesome. Like, work ethic and energy that you've got, something that you were kind of blessed with that come naturally? Or is it something you've had to develop and train? And if it is something you've had to develop and train, what tips would you give to do such a thing?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things that go into it. One is that the biggest thing is that it is a muscle, right? It's just endurance. I have a lot of mental stamina just because I have pushed myself a lot consistently. But a lot of the big secret is that I'm high energy when I'm in front of the camera, and when I'm off camera, I'm like pretty quiet. Like, well, I don't want to say that's actually not true. Eric's already looking at me like I'm full of shit. But I spend a lot of time alone, I think is a much better way to put it. You know, like if I'm preparing for the daily, I'm not talking. I'm just humming and I'm listening to music and I can fade in and out of focus. And the skill that I've developed is being able to be like, all right, cool, let's do this show. And then I can just stay focused and have that energy. And afterwards, I sort of, like a lot of events, I'll just be really tired. And no one will really see that. Like after MLG, I was really tired. So I just didn't do a show on Monday. I basically didn't do anything on Monday and was really out of it and went to bed and slept a ton Monday night and then woke up on Tuesday late, having slept through my meetings, which sorry about that again, Eric. And then did the show and had energy. Because in a sense, like, in a sense, I lost my train of thought. What was I going to say? Yeah, I guess that's basically my answer. I mean, it's a lot of energy. So, oh yeah, the tip. That's right, the tip that you asked for. Yeah, for me, it's like it's just set aside time to be able to do it. Because I think a lot of the co-caster people know this, but like the first few live events I did, like the first MLG, was a day and a half. Wasn't even a full 3-day event, and I was just absolutely obliterated in terms of exhaustion. Like the early MLGs too, I just could not handle it.
Can I tell everyone a story about that, Sean?
Please go ahead.
Okay, so the first time I met Sean was at IEM actually.
Is that Comic Con?
2009. Yes, Comic Con.
It's 2011. Yeah, Comic Con.
2011 was it really?
2010. Sorry, yeah.
2010. Okay.
Yeah.
And so he talks about sleeping after he's done with these things because you could tell that he was exhausted. But actually, I think you were sick, weren't you? You'd flown in and got literally off the plane, had to get there right away, and was just busy. But yeah, you don't see it, but he was sleeping underneath the table for a good 2 hours, I think, because he was sick. And then we managed to get him up, and we said, hey, are you okay to do this? So you can be fine. He's like, half dead, half asleep, I think. He says, yep, bring it on. Then he gets up on stage, and boom. That's why, awesome. You know, he is who he is. That's why I was telling people, you know, they're asking about this persona, but that's who he is. But sometimes he's just really tired, right? You know, and he's just not going to get, you know, jovial Mr. Sean at it, you know, all day. So
is DJ Wheat the same? Is he under the table before the camera's on?
DJ Wheat, dude, he's been doing this for 10 years.
Crazy.
Yeah,
he's been doing it all. He never misses a beat. I've never seen Marcus tired ever. I've seen him sleep, but I've never seen him tired. He's just, he has boundless energy. He just is an absolute endurance machine. And I mean, a lot of it is also responsibility. At an event, it's very easy afterwards to be like, oh, dude, hey, you know, it's like Saturday night, championship Sunday tomorrow. Dude, let's go to the bar, let's have some drinks. And you stay up till 3 in the morning, and the next day you're just destroyed. Like, you just don't make that decision if you're casting. You're like, all right, tournament's done, and you just like walk straight home. And I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of people who've seen me after events, and they're like, hey, is there any chance you wanna? And I'm like, no, I have to go to sleep. I'm gonna make myself go to sleep, like, right now.
Well, I heard a story about that, Sean, which was I think it might have been at an IPL, where they tried to get you to go to the bar, and you're like, no, I've got to go to the hotel, and I've got to do a daily. And that's what you did.
Oh, wow. That's even more impressive, actually. That's true.
You probably don't even remember.
If it's true, it's not a tall tale.
I think it may have been IEM in the IEM World Championships at CBIT, where they actually set up a little area for me to be able to actually do a daily from there.
Oh, nice.
But, all right, yeah, that's about right. Like, yeah, I just like, you know, that a lot of it, like, if I don't get enough sleep at events, like, I'll sound terrible. Like, a lot of the reason casters' voices get sound hoarse and sore is because it's hard to fall asleep after you have, like, all this energy, and it's not like you're like, all right, turn it off, like, immediately be unconscious, but it's a lot of times casters will just go to their hotel at midnight and not be able to fall asleep till like 2 or 3, and they'll have to get up at 8 because they have to be there at 8:30, and then their throats are just dry because they haven't slept enough. Right. And it's like, it's
crazy.
You just make yourself get in the bed, man. Sleep it up, dude.
All right, James, man. Thanks for your question.
Thanks for taking it.
Thank you.
All right, we got a question from the stream chat, John. You want to ask it?
Yeah. Okay. And you just, you know, answer how you feel fit. Ban Borsti, BanBorsti, I can't, whatever it is. But he says, over the last few years, I've seen a lot of dailies and a lot of videos that Sean made, like My Life of StarCraft, Emotions as Kitten, and Ninja Stars, and all sorts of things. Even though we never met in person, I feel like I know you or I know a lot about you. When you look back, are you regretting some things you said about yourself or people that are close to you? Basically, he's asking, you know, do you regret kind of exposing some of those more personal side of things?
That's a good question.
No, not at all. No. I mean, I certainly believe it's important to keep a certain amount of anonymity with people. Like, you know, let's say I had a fight with someone that was resolved in a way that was meaningful to me. There's no reason to tell that person's name, you know. But, I mean, really, really, no, not Not at all. I mean, there's certainly been some slip-ups where I've accidentally, like, said someone's name or something like that, and I, like, call the person, I'm like, I accidentally said your name on air, and I'm like, sorry. And if you get any weird emails, that's why. And, you know, and the person's like, well, no, I haven't received anything. And, like, you know, months later, it's like, I got one email from a guy who was like, LOL, Day 9 mentioned you. And it's never really as bad
as it
seems.
You can mention my name anytime you want, Sean.
Christopher Chanathan.
All right, let's take another call here. I think Crash wants to call in. John.
Oh, yeah. He's trying to call in.
Me lad.
Yes, and everyone's talking about Felicity.
Crash, what's up?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up, man? You got a question for us?
Not too much. Yeah. So, actually, I've spoken to you and John about this quite a bit, and he's actually the director of ESL. So more directed towards Sean, Tyler, and Eric. But I'm sure y'all hear this question all the time. How do you get into esports? How does this all work out? And the most common thing I think people say is volunteer, get your face out there, get your name out there, kind of, you know, work your way into it. Now, my situation is a little bit different. I'm sure other people have this too, that I already finished school. I actually went to UT, so I'm sure that's... yeah, I know, right?
All right.
There are some horns here. But, so I do mergers and acquisitions for an oil company. And that by no means relates into esports. I mean, I don't know exactly where
mergers?
No. Yeah, exactly. And it's like, well, I don't see any huge amounts of money going into esports right now that I can switch over and it's all easy. And also, the amount that you get paid. For example, if you get paid $100,000 or something along those lines annually, where or when do you think y'all be able to see maybe a job like that or opportunities like that arising in esports? And I think along those lines, where can people who are, you know, hard workers in school and people who really did studying or whatever, they were successful at their job but now want to transition into this market that suddenly appeared, where can they find out, is there an outlet for my profession or my specialty?
That is a really interesting question.
Exactly.
I mean, one of the biggest things is that I'll talk over everyone. That's one of the most important things. a lot of it is just make your own job in a lot of ways. And Tyler, I'll totally look past to you.
That was the best segue ever. But in general, I think what Sean said is right. I mean, you have to make your own place. I mean, a lot of people say volunteer, talk to a group, try to get involved. But I think at the end of the day, the people who are successful are the ones who want to make something happen, so they have a vision, and then they put the steps in place to make that vision a reality. And it doesn't really matter what that vision is or if you've had a traditional background in it. I think what you'll see with a lot of people in esports is that they're trained in one thing or they have an education in one thing. I mean, I know Eric was talking about earlier his engineering background. I have an engineering background. Sean has a math background. But at the end of the day, what we all did was we said, I'm passionate about esports and I want to make something happen. So I would say try to create your own thing. I mean, volunteering's great. It gets you the network. It gets you kind of the general feel for the scene and the layout of where you'll fit in. But I mean, even with Chris and John with this show, right? I mean, if you want to get involved, come up with an idea and just go for it. And if you approach it with that approach, just like you would any startup, right? I mean, you want to start a company. Well, how do you do that, right? You come up with an idea and you just go for it. And I think that's fundamentally what it's all about. It's having that idea and then not giving up. I mean, all the time that everyone's putting in right now is, I mean, some people are making money, but right now we're investing in the industry, right? We're investing in esports as an industry. And as we continue to work, esports gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And we're seeing that right now. So to address the other part of your question, I think it's hard to put your finger on when X number of people can come in and get a six-figure salary. But I don't really think that's the important part. I think the important part right now is that the people who are really big in the community are the ones who had that vision, who have that drive and just want to make something happen. And they're the ones who are going to be trying to drive the industry forwards. And as we become bigger and bigger as esports, as a community, then naturally we will transition. There will be more opportunities. But aside from that, just make your own opportunity. And I think that's kind of the fundamental part of it.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the folks that you see right now that are successful, like Sean here and some of the other bigger known folks, they've put their time in already. Like, a lot of people don't realize that, you know, these people have been in esports for, you know, years, 5 years, 10 years, whatever, a year, you know, like a lot of time already. And, you know, they've kind of gone through this. And so, you know, where they are now has been years of work to get there.
Yeah, but
so,
that, but in a sense, that opens the door for people to come along without having to go through all those hoops, those ups and downs.
Sure. There's
and just
some
make
degree,
something
but...
happen, because a lot of us that have put the time in have kind of gone through some of that. And so now, you know, it's not because Tyler just got in at the right time. It's that Tyler made it his time. And he was able to pick up on some of the work that other people did. And he just said, I'm going to do it. And he did it.
Tyler and his brother are everywhere right now, man. So,
yeah.
I mean, you guys might not see it, but they're behind the scenes on a lot of events. So
I almost feel like with a lot of the opportunities, like what you're talking about, John, like it's like if you were trying to survive off eating popcorn. And if you throw in one kernel at a time and try to make it pop, then you'll starve to death doing that process. But if you just throw a whole bunch of kernels in the pan, then maybe a lot more of them are likely to pop, but you don't know which ones. Because, I mean, sure, you see the After Hours Gaming League, and you see the Daily, and you see the work we did with Red Bull. What you don't see is the huge amount of work that we've put into a whole bunch of stuff that totally took the Hindenburg route, right? And just like crashed and burned like bad. And I think there's no reason to latch on too strongly to one idea or the other. I mean, I'm trying to think if there's a notable thing that we tried to do that just like went awful. Eric, maybe you can think of one.
Eric, I kind of want to get Eric's take too on this.
I'm trying to think of some of those failures.
Put those memories out of our minds.
Yeah, it sounds like you tried to.
Lock these out. Right. Positive. Yeah.
Well, either way, you know, like, and you say,
pretending, like, Sean, everything you do is like it's good.
Well, no. I mean, part of me is pausing because, you know, there's other parties involved here, you know, and a lot of times, for instance, a lot of times things will just not work out. Mm-hmm. They just won't. Like, let's say, I'm just going to make something up. Let's say, you know, you wanted to do a series of local tournaments in Los Angeles high schools to try to have a Champion of LA StarCraft tournament. And I'm like, wow, that sounds really great. And you get some of the high schools on board, and you're like, Sean, do you have availability to cast on these dates? And I look at my schedule, and I'm like, I can do these six, but not this seventh one. But I think we can kind of work around that. So we get it all set up and good to go, and then all of a sudden the school system, has seemed good, suddenly someone from high up just is unwilling to do the whole thing, and it all gets shut down. And they're like, well, crap, maybe we can try this again in a bit. And I'm like, yeah, sure. And then that just sort of fades away because they don't have the time to reorganize it. But that was still a week or two's worth of work that's just down the tubes. And that's okay. And that sort of thing happens frequently. And it's nobody's fault. There's nothing wrong with it. Maybe that higher up in the education board is not some jerk, but was just like, you know, we just don't actually have the funding to be able to overlap with this and then justify other projects or justify denying other projects too. Right. So I'm like, yeah, I understand. And it just stinks, but that's okay. So, I mean, like, if you're in mergers and acquisitions, maybe you want to try to form an agency where you represent players. Maybe you want to try to help negotiate trades between teams, help negotiate, or maybe you want to be like a start like an ad agency where you go speak to sponsors and get them interested and excited about esports and then try to pass it off to teams that might not have that experience. Because a team is a weird thing, because you're trying to manage a bunch of players and make sure that they're getting their practice and their environment and all that stuff. And then you're also trying to go pitch those players to advertisers and to pitch the whole scene to advertisers. So maybe you could just say, hey, I want to do that. Maybe you want to start up a tournament. Maybe you want to be a caster. Not all these are totally okay. None of these are wrong. And all of these you can fake, right? It's like Kurt Vonnegut, who said, you are who you pretend to be. So right? Be careful who you pretend to be. I'm not an event planner, but I still just said, oh yeah, I plan events. And then I plan some events and boom, there you go. Now I can put that on my resume and people will accept that it is true. I have listed that I am a comedian in places because I say funny things every now and again. I don't have any qualifications for that. I just kind of said that I was.
And now 101 right there.
So one day you'll play the Apollo, right? That's part of
it. Of course. I mean, yeah, next time he's a DreamHack and I'm there. Totally.
All right. Well, Crash, thanks for the question, buddy.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Yeah, good question.
Yeah, I'm going to try to take a few more here. A lot of people are dying to call in.
One person that's been trying since the beginning, he's messaged me like crazy.
Who?
That's J9 Wilkerson.
That's
the name that it shows on my end, at least.
Okay, Gus says he has a question for Eric and Tyler. So, Gus, you there?
Yeah, well, hi. It's been a... let me hook on to the previous one, if I may.
Sure.
We've been organizing... I've been in the scene for 2 years now, I believe, somewhat after the release. And I've started doing some casting for myself. And then I got contacted by someone who wanted to organize a tournament for our country. We tried that and it failed. Just happens, you know? Mm-hmm. Then, like half a year later, I got contacted again by another guy who wanted to do basically the same, but, well, hey, why not try it, you know? So we did that, and, well, we thought the whole country, Netherlands, would be a bit too big for a first tournament, so we just started small with only a university. And that worked out pretty well, and we all, one day after the sign-ups, we already got questions like, can you do this for the whole country? Well, can you do this for Belgium also? Well, why don't you do the whole Benelux? So now we're doing that, and it's actually going fine. So it's
very cool.
Just trying and just doing.
Yeah,
and
awesome.
Just try, and sometimes it will succeed, and sometimes it will not. And that's just basically a thing I just noticed. But
no, I think you're totally right.
But the question I had, we now know the favorite daily of Dayneim himself. But I'm curious, how about Eric and Tyler? I mean,
daily?
That's a good question. I'm going to sound cliche. I think Daily 100 is very important to the community. It's very important to Sean, obviously. Yeah. And I thought it was a lot of inspiration for me in starting kind of how I got involved. And the inspiration really comes from do what you're passionate about, right? I mean, you can't wait for someone to tell you to get involved. You can't wait for someone to say, well, this is the right time. Let's try something. You really have to make that decision internally. And that decision comes from the passion you have. And really, you just an idea, right? It all starts with an idea. So taking that and really seeing how far you can take it and really having that curiosity of how far you can take a certain idea, that's what's important to me. And that's kind of how I got involved. So for that reason, I think Daily 100 was very important. And I think Sean's a really good inspiration. And yeah, that's me.
How about you, Eric?
Oh, that's a hard question. Someone need to choose from. Let's see.
Eric's going to come off that and be like, well, there was this daily where Sean made this dick joke that was really funny.
This daily fun. That was impossible to freaking encode, and it sucked.
Oh, yeah, those are super memorable. All the ones in the early days where there's an encoding bug and they just are deleted from history.
Eric's name is actually encoding.
Yeah. That's kind of true. Let's see. I would say, some of the first, kind of like when we first launched off the Fun Day Monday, those, like, I think the first Fun Day Monday, I mean, it's arguably between, I think, the Queen's Daily, like Mass Queens, was one of the first Fun Day Mondays, and then it was also, like, the BGH match, which is really, like, the precursor to Fun Day Monday. That was, a ton of fun to watch.
Number 65. Daily 65, number 65.
Yep. God, what a memory.
Which one was that? I've seen it. I've seen 65. I don't know which
one. It was my friend Dane and Bean playing a 2v2v2v2 on Big Game Hunters, where Dane was at 2 supply and Bean was at 0 supply. And they came back and won.
Those are the days, man. 2v2v2 or FFAs, where you've got like one SEV or one drone or something, you come back and win. Those are the days. All right, Gus. Thanks, man.
Thanks, Gus. No problem.
Thank you for answering.
All right, we'll take two more. I don't know who J9 is, so I'm just going to... There's a lot of people have been calling, so where is... Okay, Edward Juarez. He's been calling a lot. Oh, I messed that up. What did I do? There we go. Oh, it's not working for some reason. Okay, well...
Oh my god, no!
He's been calling so much, and now he's not available. That's too bad. Now he's calling again. Oh no. Tony, what's up, man?
Hey, I had a question. I actually had also posted it in the chat, but as ain't funny.
Oh, okay, good. That was one of the ones I was going to ask.
Okay.
Yeah.
Want to go ahead and ask it live or?
Definitely. So I go to a small college, and I'm co-founding the computer game club with a couple of buddies of mine.
Awesome.
And we're trying to organize some tournaments and things, but you know, to get tournaments going, you need players to play in those tournaments. And so I was kind of wanted to ask Tyler, when you were organizing TESPA and things, how did you, you know, find players and get them involved in, you know, your organization and in tournaments and stuff?
Yeah. Are you talking pro players or just like community members?
Either or. Okay. I mean, pro players, I feel like we'd get a lot more people involved, and I mean, just community players would get more people involved. Sorry about the background noise. I live in a dorm.
No worries. No, so I'll answer that question kind of in a couple of different parts. First, I'll kind of preface it by saying I feel that professional players are really necessary to drawing attention to the college scene, and that is on the college campus yourself, you'll have a lot of publicity. I mean, how we started was we just had a lot of organic interest, right? We threw together an impromptu meeting, and surprisingly, we had like 25 people come out, and we thought we'd have four or five. So from there, we saw, okay, well, there's a community here. And when our focus became, I guess our focus kind of shifted on how do we build this community, how do we grow? And once it got big enough, we said, okay, well, this community wants to compete. They want tournaments. So that's what we did. In terms of the professional players, I think that is, it all comes down to iteration, right? We started small. Our first LAN that we hosted was 64 players. It was in a classroom. It had like a $700 prize pool that was made solely by entrance fees. So no pros, no casters, nothing whatsoever. The players were being like shown in the projector or even sitting in the same room. So what I'm trying to say is you start small, right? That was our first LAN. And every time you host an event, and I think Sean kind of alluded to this earlier, you always iterate afterwards. You go back and you say, what can we do to not only do what we did again, but improve on it and make it better? And if you approach it with that kind of mindset, I think you'll naturally progress toward getting the level where you want to get those pros or those casters involved. And as far as like actually reaching out to casters, I would say networking is extremely key. It's hard to do when you aren't like a part of the scene, I guess, to begin with. Yeah. But the way you counter that is by going to events. Go to events and meet someone. And then from each person you meet, have them introduce you to two other people. I mean, networking is a very fundamental aspect, but once you get started, you'll start making contacts, you'll start making acquaintances, and all it takes is one bite, right? The first pro player that we had, we brought In Control down to cast our third tournament, and that was the first time we had ever flown anyone in. And to us, it was a huge deal. It was amazing. But we got that simply through networking, right? We met him at an event, we started talking, and we really believed in what we were doing. We were able to present what we did logically, professionally, and then go to him with a full-out plan, definitely with all the details. So I feel like if you do it in a professional way that shows you know what you're doing and it's going to be great no matter what, and then you make those contacts, it's really easy to kind of marry those two ideas and get people on board. And once you have your first, it just kind of grows from there, right? And that's just, that's limited purely by your vision. You want to host an event, you have some people, and then you iterate after that. You grow, and it kind of goes from there. So I would say start small. Definitely look at what you've done. Always try to improve. And then the other aspect of that is networking. Always meet people. Always introduce yourself. And if you're genuinely excited about what you're doing, and you're doing it in a kind of a professional way, that shows you know what you're doing, you're going to be successful as long as you have the vision and the team behind you to make it successful.
And you know, I also want to talk more about how Tyler's a huge badass. Stories about what he and his brother did, like explicitly about going to a sponsor and saying, hey, we're putting on this event, here's the numbers we anticipate and here's what we expect. And the sponsors would say things like, well, you know, this isn't a good fit for us right now for whatever reason. Maybe they didn't have the budget. Maybe the event actually wasn't a good fit. Or maybe they, you know, their product is, they felt like wasn't related enough to the demographic. Whatever reason. Sponsor was like, no thanks, but let us know how it goes. Adam and Tyler would send them an informational sheet after the event had happened, being like, well, here's how it went.
Yep.
And then went back like the second time for the next event. And we're like, hey, we're doing an event. It's going to be bigger than last time. And they're like, well, no, still no, but let us know how it goes. And would send a second follow-up sheet, including all the numbers and everything, like, this is how it went. Correct me if this is wrong, Tyler, but...
No, you're totally right.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay, good. I was fairly certain I wasn't lying.
No, you...
But yeah, and then by, like, time number 4 or 5, being like, hey, you want to do this? And they're like, well, Jesus, these guys have had a track record of 4 successful events. This seems like a more sure bet. And, I mean, there was no magic to that. It was just consistently, like Tyler said, presenting professionally and all the data.
Yeah.
It all comes down to numbers, yeah. And I feel like having a really good team at your back is also extremely important, especially with things of really large vision, right? I mean, once you get to the level of trying to bring out pro players and pro casters, you've got to be confident in yourself, and you can't be confident unless you know you have all of your ducks in a row, right? And that's really not possible with one people or two people or even a couple people. I mean, you need a really good team at your back, so I'd also recommend that you reach out to those other people at your university who are passionate and try to see what they're good at, right? See what, maybe not what they're good at, but even what they want to learn to do. I think we've been really lucky to have that, and it's kind of interesting because a lot of the people who have done work for us and been a part of our team, Jerry, for example, he's an electrical engineer, but he does all of our graphics work, and he's great. So,
oh, Jerry's awesome. Jerry also helped at the Red Bull Battlegrounds event.
Oh yeah, he did. So yeah, reach out to those people in your community, and you'll be able to achieve a lot more collectively than you will alone. So as long as you're passionate and you're confident and you have a vision, sell people on that vision, bring them together, and make it that much better.
Well, awesome question, Tony.
Thanks very much,
thanks,
guys.
Buddy. Well, lots of
hold
great.
On. Hold on, hold on. What? You said we were going to alternate, and I'm getting yelled at because we didn't alternate questions.
Guys, this is such good questions. They're like taking, you know.
I know.
A long time. Okay, last quick
like
one. If you guys are okay with it, one quick one.
Because I still have to, one, I mean, these guys are welcome to go anytime. You know that. But I still have to talk about PAX for about 2 minutes at least, and then I got to do something else. But where do they put that? All right. This is an interesting one. You can answer it quickly. But Banriff King asks, question for Eric or Day 9. The players part of the AHGL was discussed, but not the casters. What was the thought process behind this so you think you can cast competition, and has it met your expectations?
That's this a great question.
Yeah, this question is asked due to most of the YouTube comments demanding more Day 9, less other casters.
Right.
Yeah, and I believe that's actually from one of the casters, so you should check out. He put together an amazing summary of all of the casters in the StarCraft side of that competition, which I believe is on the After Hours Gaming League somewhere at this point, and we'll probably be tweeting that pretty shortly. I think our plan was to tweet it tomorrow when Sean casts the match, so again, thanks to him for being a huge contributor to the league in that respect. So the So You Can Think You Can Cast contest was our way of thinking, okay, how do we create a win-win scenario for this league? The players in the league really like to see their games cast. That's just cool for them. And it's cool for Sean to cast, but it's also cool just to have any caster cast them, right? And so we're like, how do we get a ton of casters involved in this? At the same time, you know, it's a great opportunity for the community. We have all these casters that want to get into the scene and don't have a way to really break in. So we wanted to say, how can we get a huge number of new people involved and publicized and to kind of both grow their brand and also learn what it means to do this week after week and to, you know, improve their skill by just repeating it and that kind of thing. So it was really to kind of create that opportunity in the community. We had the chance, and it really created a win-win for the StarCraft community and casters and for the After Hours Gaming League players. So the competition, by the way, is we're having something like eight casters on the League of Legends and eight on the StarCraft side cast the matches, and then we're going to have kind of a voting elimination of, you know, over the course of the season, how did everyone do? You know, who are your favorite casters? And then we'll present the champion who gets the famous Day 9 no prize, but really it's kind of it's the experience that's really the important part of that. Nice. And so we're pretty excited about that.
Okay, great.
Oh, by the way, just to plug it, anyone that wants to go to afterhoursgaming.tv and go to the casters page to vote on your favorites and check them all out. They're all great people.
Let's see this. Casters, okay.
Yeah, or ahgl.tv for...
That's a little easier, yeah, to say.
People don't like typing in domain names.
Exactly.
And, you know, I sort of continuing on, like, with that, like, Eric's been really smart about structuring a lot of just the rules to be focused on the players having fun and the players having that sort of engagement and trying to involve as many people as possible. Like, there are codified rules in the official handbook, but there's also segments of the handbook that say, but if the two captains agree to a different setup, that's fine. Sort of loosely. Okay. So, you know, like, if, you know, for instance, if there's four matches that need to be played, technically you should play them in order 1, 2, 3, 4. But if there's a scheduling issue, there's nothing wrong with doing it out of order. Yeah. So this means that, you know, the teams that are a little bit more casual, who want to have a little bit more fun and goof around a little bit, they can both agree to not make Marines in a TVT and just see what happens. And that's totally fine. We're not gonna stop the way that people want to have fun. And then as you climb towards the end, you know, the teams that are more competitive will naturally want to be more competitive. And the whole "so you think you can cast competition" that Eric concocted is very much so on that theme. How do you just bring more people in? How do you create a structure that makes people participate in their own fun?
Mm-hmm. Well, okay. Well, why don't we conclude the Q&A and let John do his couple segments here, just really quick segments, I guess, what pertaining to PAX and his website, like just a website that he likes to point out.
Yeah. Or something. I mean, it's up to you.
No, go for it. Go for it.
Okay. Real quick. So, first of all, just tell you real quick, PAX was awesome. It was really cool. It's kind of like a cross between Comic-Con and an IEM event. So, it's got some it definitely has some esports elements to it, but holy cow, there were a lot of card games. I mean, there was tables of people playing Magic and stuff. But PAX is really cool. It's definitely a mix of demographic of gamers and people that just love comics and awesome. So I'll do an early shout-out. My shout-outs to all of those that I had a chance to meet at PAX, including some really cool people that I'd never met before. There was just a lot of interesting indie games and things like that. And so that kind of leads into I did get a good chance talking with got to talk with Sir Scoots quite a bit. That was really good. Hung out at the Twitch booth quite a bit. Talked with Amy at Twitch. So there's it's a great opportunity. It was good for me. You know, I was one of the first events that I had gotten to go to that I didn't have to work. I mean, technically, I didn't have to work. I was just there to have. You know, to enjoy it, and I got to reach out and talk to a lot of people, which in a sense was working, because obviously, and for those that don't know, if you did tune into PAX, you saw the IGL videos that were playing, commercials that were playing on Twitch. That's the startup company that I'm a part of, and we were getting ready to launch, so we were kind of had an initiative at PAX, so that was really cool. One interesting thing, I did attend two panels, one of which was the DJ Wheat panel on the history of esports. That was good. It was really good. The other one was an interesting one about violence in video games. And you'll have to check out the VOD if you can find it, but I did get up and actually went into a 10-minute conversation with the person who's like a doctor of psychology about his views. And it was interesting, but at the end of it, it was pretty cool. There was some clapping from the crowd, so that was good. So definitely check that out if you have a chance. But this leads into kind of my segment each week, and we still don't have a name for it or anything. But
your video's frozen, man.
My what?
Your video's frozen for some reason.
It is? Oh, well, I'm showing on the screen. I'm way
very
behind.
Stoic. So
it very could be stoic. Me. As long as they can hear me, that's good.
All right.
I'm frozen. That's good. So I was able to just, you know, walk around and check some things out. And I checked out a website. It was funny because there was some conversation about this in the chat, you know, like, where can I get my stuff seen and things, you know, like I have video or I have, you know, a blog, and it just, things are so fragmented, right? Well, there's a company, and Amy White is her name. She's the CEO of a company called Game Skinny. So you want to check out
Game Skinny. Okay, I'm bringing it up right now.
And this is really cool. So we can all agree, well, maybe we can't, but we can all agree that Reddit can certainly be a cesspool of information. A lot of things that are really good just get lost, and a lot of things that are really shitty, excuse my French, they get put to the top. It can be a haven for trolls. Well, what Game Skinny is it's really meant to be an opportunity to share things that you write, not just click, you know, not just a single sentence or a link, but meaningful stuff about you know, tips, game guides, culture, sharing the videos, sharing your first impression of a game, and it's not just about posting. They have actual editors that will look things over. They'll even put a graphic up for you. They will look over some of your stuff, and they approve these things. You don't get it. It can automatically be put on there. It can be featured on the front page. It's actually really. It just looks like it could be a really neat thing, okay. Especially for people that are really trying to make a name for themselves and don't really have a place to do that at. So gameskinny.com, definitely check it out. They had a cool t-shirt and they got a pretty cool logo, so I definitely was caught right away.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I'm like on this site right now. Everybody's taking a look at it. So gameskinny.com, looks like it's in beta, so good deal. All right, so why don't we round out the show and want to do some shout outs and thank yous. Jimmy, there's like this huge riot for J9.
I don't know who J9 is. I'm pretty sure
I was not aware of this.
Should we just take it?
Do it.
Yes, because there's
do it. Brandon.
Okay, let's do it. Okay, here we go. Actually, John and Sean's cameras are frozen right now.
That's good. I like it.
All right, Jay. Let's hear it. What's up, buddy?
Oh, we've been waiting forever to get on.
here we go. Wait for it.
I'm J9's biggest fan. I call myself a J9. It's pretty original. I was just wondering if I could ask you, can I tickle your bollocks?
Now do you remember who J9 is, John?
Yes, now I do.
Okay.
Right. Next time I am wherever you are, which sounds far away because you're accented, just give me the time and place.
England.
All right, Jay. Thanks, buddy.
All right, cinema.
That was worth it.
Well, all right.
That was perfect. We've been all talking about like being inspired and like making esports happen, and some guys like I knew he was.
I was just like, but everybody, like, you know, everybody wants to hear him. There's like a crazy stream movement here, stream chat movement.
My series is still frozen.
Yeah, wow. Sean and John's cans are frozen. So why don't we start our shout-outs? We'll start with you, Tyler, and then we'll make our way to the frozen
guys. Thanks to everybody. No, seriously, thanks Chris and John for inviting us on. It was a really cool opportunity, which I appreciate. Thanks to the whole J9 team, especially the ones who aren't here, who make everything possible. And thanks to my team at TESPA. Thank you guys for watching. If there's anyone I missed, thank you too, because you're probably awesome.
Eric. Oh, I can't hear you, Eric. You're muted.
Eric.
I muted myself to type. Oops, my bad. Sorry, I do this all the time.
No problem.
All the time? Oh, my God. Man. Eric's every time I'm like, Eric, we may have lost $10 million. How are we going to get it? And he's like, Eric? And he's like, oh, sorry, I'm muted. Yeah, $10 million is a lot of money, and it's all gone. Huh, let's see.
so true. So let's see, I guess I would just shout out to, you know, everyone that in the history of the After Hours Gaming League that's really made that happen. You know, so many volunteers. I hesitate to start saying any names because everyone's so amazing. You know, thanks to you guys for bringing us on the show so I can help talk about the After Hours Gaming League, get that message out. So really excited about that.
Awesome, yeah. Pleasure having you.
Eric, do you have a Twitter? People were asking earlier.
I do, and I almost never use it. I'm not a tweeter. Of much, but it's my name. It's Eric Burkhart. So at Eric Burkhart. But don't really use that much.
You might be a 500 new people following you.
I will spam you with one tweet per year. So warning.
It better be a good
tweet
one.
Per year. Happy New Year. That's pretty much it. All right, Sean.
I'd like to give a shout out to the wonderful individuals who helped make J9 TV possible who are not here. Tom, Stephanie, Gabe, Nate, Bernard. Eric, I hope I'm not forgetting anyone else.
Kara?
Oh, well, I mean, it's Kara, certainly. She was going to be on here, but amazingly so, her flight got canceled because there's like a huge blizzard going through the Midwest. And they rescheduled it like 2 days later because all the flights are booked for spring break. So that's kind of psycho.
So she just stuck there?
Where is she stuck?
Well, she was just stuck on the West Coast for a little bit, but now she'll be able to head back, but... I mean, wow. it's kind of nuts. But either way, shout out to the entire J9 TV team, to all the wonderful mods of Fun Day Monday admins, and all the kind helpers who just make it possible. Because I think the greatest part of of like this whole moment is that everyone gets to see that it's not me. It's like, oh, everyone else, I'm just the guy who doesn't shut up. I professionally don't stop talking, so it would be absolutely impossible without their wonderful help and support, so thank you. And also thanks to everyone in the Day9 TV chat and comment section always, who are so nice, like over on Day9.tv, everyone who posts is like so positive and encouraging and helpful and engages in discussions and aren't assholes. They're all great, so thank you for being cheery. Because it puts me in a good mood, because sometimes I get strung out and I just like read the website and I feel good.
We forgot the Esports Heroes, our volunteer group that we mentioned earlier. So yeah, those guys are awesome too. So thank you guys.
Okay, John.
Okay, I actually do have some shout outs this week. Shout out to all of those at PAX that I did have an opportunity to meet. All of those that offered to help me get home yesterday or if I was to get stuck in Houston. It was literally like 13 hours of traveling yesterday, which is a whole day wasted of actual work. A shout out to my crew at IGL, and for many of you who don't know, but a new online gaming league, not as cool as the After Hours Gaming League because we don't have, you know, IBN playing, but we do have you guys playing, hopefully. But IGL, playigl.com. And they've been working their tails off. Tonight is our first show match, and it's a Quake Live show match. And we're going to have like DeHang and Chance, some Quake Live pros, and some others play. And then we'll follow that up with about 8 different show matches, including StarCraft II, League of Legends, so on. So we're going to be very busy, and our coders have been extremely busy. The website's still in beta, but you know, we'll have leagues, tiered leagues, very close to the After Hours Gaming League. All sorts of cool stuff coming from those guys. I really just want to thank because they've been working their tail off. Shout out to you, Chris, for getting Day9 on the show. I know it was like a milestone for you. No, really a shout out to you, Sean, because I know you don't do these things a lot, and I really appreciate it. Tyler, always good to see you. And Eric, very nice to meet you. You're doing some awesome stuff with the After Hours Gaming League. So. And then again, shout out to all of our fans and our mods. Shout out to you, J9, for making this show well worth it towards the end.
And I would be thrilled to tickle your bum or whatever it was.
Bollocks.
Tickle your bollocks. That's right. Yes. Which it was something exceedingly British. And you know, I will of course like to thank you to Chris and John for the invitation, not just you know for me, but for like the whole crew, because I definitely think that the entire Day9 crew does not get nearly the credit they deserve. They're awesome, so thanks for the show. Who was it?
Definitely,
yeah. Sean, your camera's up.
Wait, sorry, go ahead. Yeah, what?
Hey, Sean, your camera's up. Like now. A very stern face, so okay, it went along great with
that's
you.
That's good. Here, look, I'll turn it off, and you can get a bird with arms.
Literally, you know, I have a picture in place for you.
Oh, no, I can see it. You got to get the bird with arms up. Yeah.
All right. Let me show the bird with arms real quick. All right, there we go. You see the bird with arms? That's pretty cool. So my shout-outs, obviously, shout-outs to our guests, Sean, Eric, Tyler. Amazing, amazing show. And, you know, again, you know, having you on, Sean, talking about the business side of all this stuff, you know, like John said, I don't see you do these kind of things very often. So I really, really appreciate, you know, you coming on. And I wanted to have the whole team on, including Kara, because, you know, like you said, like not very many folks get to really see what you guys do behind the scenes. And, you know, Eric, I know you're not the type of guy who's just going to jump out to the forefront, you know, and kind of, you know, just get the attention, you know, that sort of thing. So I kind of wanted to give you a little bit of attention, you know, today and that sort of thing.
And, thank you.
And, you know, I just, again, you know, I just want to thank you guys for, you know, the whole launch party, you know, was pretty impactful for me, for you guys coming on. And big shout out to my mods for manning the chat today and just always being a great, great group of people that I bounce ideas off of. Big shout out to you too, John, for doing these shows with me. And,
sure.
And putting up with just all my pickiness when it comes to graphics and everything.
That's what makes this show what it is.
Exactly. And yeah. So I do have an announcement, guys. So Red Eye, who's our other co-host, ESL is working him like a dog, and as you can tell, he hasn't been on in a while. So what we've decided to do is Red Eye's just going to kind of take a step back, and whenever his schedule kind of clears up, he'll do some guest hosting for us. When, you know, maybe in the summer or something like that. But so in the meantime, we're actually going to pull on a new host, which we will announce later on this week. Oh, I'm not sure what happened to the stream, but we'll announce later on this week. I know Sir Scoots has gotten a hold of it, so you might be seeing some SSN announcement on Twitter sometime this week before I even get a chance
to announce it. That's actually going to become a real thing, this SSN crap, isn't it? I love it.
But yeah, we will have a new host starting next week, and I'm really excited to have him on. And, you know, it's going to be a lot more entertaining. I'll just say that with him on the show. So it'll be definitely a good time. But VODs for the show will be up. I'm probably uploaded right after this. And if all things went well, otherwise I have to edit it. So, and follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/chamanv. Everybody else's Twitter. Did we plug on?
No, I didn't do my Twitter.
Okay, go for it. Everybody's
actually,
Twitter.
I think I have over 100 followers now.
All
it's
right.
ES. ES underscore John Clark. I'll put that in the chat.
And obviously Sean. Everybody knows Sean's
Day9TV.
Tyler.
Me.
Twitter.com slash Tyler Rosen. And then Eric, I think he talked about his Twitter. You can find all the past episodes on youtube.com/ChamManV. And join the Google Plus StarCraft 2 discussion community that Red Eye started. I'm kind of manning. So almost up to 4,000 people. So join up there. You're going to see some interesting articles there that are a little bit different than Reddit. But that's going to be it for climbing the ladder this week. So for Chamanv, John Clark, Day9, Eric, and Tyler, we will see you next week. Cue the music. Where is it?
Yeah.
And remember, we can still talk during this time if we can't hear you.
Woohoo! We did it!